This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for Montgomery, Texas, beginning at 11 p.m. Saturday and ending at 2:04 Sunday, January 14th. This is KPFT Houston.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston in the world. I'm back.
Oh, God.
Hey, I was really sick last week.
Yeah, you're great. Sick every week. Who are you?
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one.
This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
Right here on good old Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. For the time being.
Yeah, until you get the blue and yellow on yellow.
Yeah, when we get that 100,000 watts going, then we won't need that little repeater thing down in Galveston. They'll be able to hear us halfway to whatever.
Maybe fine. You know, maybe then our MBBs will be able to start listening to us again.
Yes, yes, our MBBs are men behind bars. Let's see, what's going on tonight? Let's see. Gigi called, and he's not doing his segment tonight.
Sick.
Yeah, and he got
some
medication. He has some medication that, and...
Oh, you wouldn't know a thing about bad medicine reactions, would you?
Oh, God, no.
not
me.
Not you.
And Diane Rose called.
So lovely of her to call.
Yes. She
so rare.
Is not going to be here. In fact, she's not even in Houston. She's out of town, but she wants to be back next month. Yeah, we'll have a meeting.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's about our co-host.
That statement earlier about subtly getting us nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'll dedicate Klaus Nomi song to her later.
the witch, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Possibly.
Yeah, his version is very good. But we do have Theater Suburbia here tonight.
Theatra, they spell it funny. Theatra.
Well, that's only when you go to the website. You have to be pissy.
Oh,
yeah, Theatra Suburbia.
I didn't realize it was a Yellow Hanky website.
Oh, ouch. Anyway, I wanted to talk to them, right away, so...
Get them in, get them out?
Well, no.
Well, there's some in there we wouldn't mind getting in and out.
Oh.
It is a little sweaty in there, too.
Careful.
What?
That's a married man in there.
So?
I never stopped you before.
I'm sorry, but according to the Republicans, I should care very damn little about the sanctity of marriage.
They
so.
Okay.
They cannot help it that there are some people on the other side of this glass that happen to be beautiful.
Well, anyway, there's a great show going on at Theater Suburbia right now, and we're going to talk about it, but here's a little hint of what it's about.
CD off. 13th here in Houston Town. My name is Friday, Joe Friday, and I'm a cop. Seems quiet tonight, almost like every other night. Something tells me this won't just be another night. My partner Frank Smith and I have gathered the usual suspects here tonight, and we intend to make them sing. Word on the street is that this radio host, alias Jimmy Carter, is having a birthday. Well, in our business, you can't just let things like that go by. You let one get by you, then they'll all want to get by you. Okay, Frank, let's make them sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jimmy. Happy birthday to you.
Why, thank you. Wow, that's terrific. First the cake and now music.
Now you can repeat the music.
Okay, now we reprise the theme song and roll the credits.
Oh, okay. What? Who?
That's it.
We're ready to go, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are.
They want you want to go with the music or not?
Yeah.
We did the theme music.
Well, do you want us to introduce ourselves first?
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah. And who are you?
I have no idea what I'm doing, nor what I'm doing here.
I see.
No, my name's Elvis. Mm-hmm. Suzanne King and I directed the directed Dragnet at the theater with this wonderful cast. I have to say that because I'm in the room with them.
Wait a minute,
that was supposed to be Inside Voice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had a fun time with it.
Yes, I saw it last night, and I was thoroughly entertained.
Well, that's nice to hear.
It's a great cast and a great show. And I never saw the movie, so I asked Judy. I picked out, didn't I?
I knew who did it.
Okay. Well, why don't we let some of the others talk and introduce themselves? Because I don't like to talk.
I know.
Okay. I'm Gene Griesbach, and
hi, Gene again.
Joe Friday.
Yeah. Gene's been here.
I'm David Barron, and I'm doing the role of Officer Frank Smith.
I'm Hannah Boston, and I'm doing the role of Dolores Shannon.
Mrs. Shannon.
I'm Allison Coriel, and I'm playing the role of Virginia, or Ginny, Hamlin.
I'm Jesse Bambridge, and I'm playing Brad Roney.
Oh, Brad.
Yeah, baby.
My name is Laura, and tonight I'm playing Seth.
I'm Scott Bernard, and tonight I'm playing Walter.
I'm Melrose Fougere, and I'm playing Mrs. Gaylord.
I'm Brenda Kusimba, and I'm playing Nora Hamlin.
And we've got a couple of people that aren't here tonight. Laura is filling in for Becky Seabrook, who couldn't be here. Scott's filling in for Ed Whitke, who couldn't be here. Suzanne King is out of town. Justin, you didn't talk.
My name is Justin Holloway, and I'll be playing Ray.
And Justin's filling in for Daniel Corrigan.
Cool.
And we also want to send out a special note to Skip Lakely. Skip was originally cast in the show, had some medical issues, hasn't been able to perform, and Melrose has been filling her shoes wonderfully. Thank you, Melrose. And Skip, we miss you.
We love you, Skip.
Miss you, Skip.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you give us our cue, our music, cue our music, we can do our singing.
Okay.
Baseball.
Friday, January 5th. It was foggy in Houston. We were working the opening night at Theater Suburbia. That would be the homicide detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Lohman. My name is Friday. I'm a cop. My partner and I were investigating the death of Carl Lawrence Hamlin. We lined up the usual list of suspects. We gathered them all at the scene, 2296 Whitworth Drive. First is the grieving widow, Nora Hamlin.
Mr. Friday, he's been there. Carl, that is. We've been separated, and he didn't live here. He locked himself in with his gun and said he was going to kill himself. I didn't believe him until I heard the shot. Well, he's gone. Carl is gone. 20 years and it had to end like this. I must have been somehow to blame.
Uh-huh. What about you, miss?
Ginny, Virginia Hamlin. I'm their daughter, and I live here, too. His name was Carl Lawrence Hamlin. He was 43. Occupation? Not much lately. Odd jobs once in a while when he's sober. He had a furnished room over on Bronson. Landlady, her name's Miller. Brad, my boyfriend and I, well, we were at a movie. When I got back to the house, and it was after it happened. And I don't know what else I can tell you.
All right. Young man, do you want to make a statement?
I'll give you a statement, all right. Go jump in the lake. You will not like you. You guys are regular little old bulldogs, aren't you? What do you know about anything? You a cop, ain't you? You boys only know one thing. How to sink the screws into a guy, you bunch of holding-down hypocrites. Every one of you. It doesn't make a lot of difference if I talk or not, does it? What are you going to try and get me to say?
Joe, while I was on the phone talking to Faye... By the way, she wants to know when you're coming over to the house for a fee. Says you haven't been over to the house to see the little guy. She wants to know if you're mad at her or something. You know, Joe, this married life sure is grand. Anyway, while I was on the phone, this lady from next door came over. She says she wants to tell you something. Her name is Dolores Shannon.
Mrs. Shannon is the name I use. Been divorced though about a year now. You'll have to pardon my outfit. I was out back enjoying the sun when I saw this officer here. And, you know, I feel as every citizen's got an obligation. I mean, when it comes to cooperating with the police. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Yes, ma'am. Your information?
Last night I heard something. You know how these places are built. I can almost hear a paper rustling in here from my living room, and anyway, it was shortly after 10. I know, because I was expecting a phone call from a gentleman who... a phone call. And that's when I heard the fight with Carl Hamlin. I didn't do anything to break up this home. That was done long ago by Nora. She made life so miserable for that poor man. No wonder he drank. I'm only interested in one thing, seeing justice done, and that's why I'm here now.
Okay, lady. That's enough. I'll see you to your door. Oh, Joe, here comes someone else. You want me to show him in?
8:45 p.m. and Walter Markov arrives unexpectedly at the scene.
I run the Little Romania Cafe on Fountain Avenue. Nora is my cashier. She is a fine woman. For 3 years, she works for me since the separation. I have learned to know her very well. A fine woman. And my intentions? Oh, you understand, were strictly honorable. So many times I asked her to marry me, but she would not. She put me off. This she would not admit, but she kept hoping, always hoping that this no good, this Carl, he would change. So she would be able to take him back. A foolish hope, I tell her. I say, Nora, could a leopard change his spots? Could a hog stop rolling around in the filth? But she would not listen to me.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Markov. 8:50 p.m. Mrs. Jesse Gaylor, Mrs. Hamlin's mother, is seen descending the staircase. Mrs. Gaylor, I'm trying to find out what happened while your son-in-law was here.
Well, let me try and think. I was sitting right here in this chair. Might have dozed off for a minute, you know, just dozing. I can't sleep regular anymore. A few minutes here, a few minutes there. It's all I ever get. Well, Mr. Hamlin woke me up with his yelling. Shouted he was going to have a showdown with me. Told me the split-up was all my fault. Why, I just sat there and let him rant till he began to curse at me. I'm 73, Mr. Friday. Been through a lot in my time. Awful lot. But there isn't anyone I'll let talk to me like that. I told Mr. Hamlin to get out of the house. And I said, now you just stop this dang foolishness right now and clear out of here. Out. He just looked at me and said, You'd like that, wouldn't you? Then he told me he was gonna kill himself to show Nora and me. I thought it was just his dramatics. Mr. Hamlin was that kind, always play-acting, trying to impress people.
9 p.m. Tess Brentwood, reporter for the local rag, spills blood and arrives on the scene.
I am definitely not a reporter, darling. Feature writer. There's a difference, believe me. Difference of 10 years of pounding dusty pavements and $100 a week salary. I've come to do things for Miss Hamlin. Big things. We're going to unleash the power of the press in her behalf. Listen to me. Flash came in a little while ago from the police press officer, and it looks like an interesting story. Been slow today. Nothing much happening. It's the only story with any angles that's come through all day. It'll get a play, and nobody can stop it. Only question is, how do you want it played? From your viewpoint, or...
All right, Tess. You just ran out of time. See you around the city room.
You're gonna regret this, Hawkshaw. I get through with my story, you're gonna look like a bum.
They call her Miss Slushbucket around the city rooms. Time she gets through writing about you, you don't even recognize yourself. Joe, things sure look like something got out of place on this one.
9:15 p.m. Ray Pinker calls with the lab results.
Joe, this guy in the book I'm reading is wonderful. One man working alone, and he outsmarts the whole police department of a big city. You know, you fellas ought to take lessons from him. He would have had this case figured out in the first chapter. It's simple. All you gotta do is look for the butler. Built like an envelope.
10:30 p.m. This wraps up another case for Dragnet at Theater Suburbia. Tonight, we've given you the facts. Just the facts. For the rest of the story, see Theater Suburbia through February 3rd. Tell them I sent you. That's Friday. Joe Friday.
Cool. Like I said, Judy and I saw the play last night.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did, and you can come over here and talk, too.
Oh, do I got it?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
How do you like that? He spent how long trying to get you away from him, and now he
pulls me to him.
I know. Judy Reeves, my ex-roommate.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of 2 months, and... you're involved both in After Hours and Theater Suburbia.
Well,
so.
I haven't been involved in anything the last couple of months.
Yeah, well.
This is a really good play.
Yes.
I love the set. I have to say that. I love the set, Alvin. Anybody
Thank
else?
Thank you.
It's complicated set. Because you have to have a living room and an office, the police office.
And you have to stir 11 people around in there.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
So.
We probably should tell them where the theater is.
Oh, yes, all of that, the pertinent information.
All that good stuff.
Yes. Theater. Go.
So well, somebody say it.
Somebody say it.
Come on,
we're
Doris.
At 1410 West 43rd,
okay.
Near Northwest Houston, conveniently located 2 miles north of Loop 610 North and one block west of Ella Boulevard.
From the Montrose, you just go to Shepherd and take Shepherd to 43rd. That's right after you pass Sears. Turn left. And then once you pass Kroger's,
you're there.
Right on the right.
You've made that trek, have you?
A couple of times.
Okay.
And the phone number?
The phone number is 713-682-3525.
You'll get to talk to Doris, probably.
Oh, you get to talk to Doris' voice.
Or listen to her voice, at least.
And the show, as the script said, the show runs through February the 3rd, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday evenings. We have Sunday matinees on...
The 21st and 28th.
January 21st and 28th at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
Check out our website, theatersuburbia.com.
Theatra.
Yes. And come see the show. There's 10 people on stage who've worked really hard and are giving everybody a really good show, I think.
I know. And the wonderful woman who made the birthday cake tonight spends the entire evening kind of clutching her pearls and sobbing all over the stage, yes.
Is that what she's doing? Okay.
Usually that phrase means so much a lot different on this show.
Yeah. Does it ever?
It was.
You know, you've got a few first-timers
yes,
in this
do.
Cast, don't you?
Yes, we do.
First-timers for Theater Suburbia, not for...
Yeah, for our theater.
Because I see David Barron there, and I've seen him at lots of fundraisers singing, and I know that he's done some stuff at Theater New West and some other places. That's a face I'm familiar with, and I know there are others.
That would be a cue.
Yes, I'm Hannah Boston. I'm kind of new to the theater scene here in Houston. Been on stage a lot, but not here in Houston much. So it's nice to be here. It's a great theater, great cast. I'm having a great time.
And you have come fabulous costumes.
Uh-huh. Oh, thank you.
Yes,
you do. You like seeing me half naked, do you?
You got well. Now I look at it from a different perspective. All I got to say is, if a bunch of after-hours people go, do not wear that dress in the parking lot. You will be knocked down, and some drag queen will rip it off of your body.
Jimmy, I already have dibs on it after the show closes, so sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
Calm down, boys. Calm down.
Yeah, see, on this show, we don't care about how much you're not wearing. We're worried about what you are wearing.
I see. Yeah. Well, as long as, you know, we can trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this is kind of a 50s play, so the hats on the men and some of the outfits kind of remind me. I remember my mother wearing similar clothing, yes.
To Doris?
Because you stole it from her.
Really? Where's your mom now?
That's moving right along.
Do we have any other new people?
Yes, I'm new. My name is Allison Coriel, and I just moved back to Houston from Chicago. So I was living out there and moved here 2 months ago and got married and...
and unfroze.
And I'm free. I'm currently thawing out.
Yeah.
Wait till you leave the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting chilly out there.
I brought it with me. Sorry, guys.
Oh, well. It's a fun, fun play, and I know everybody had a lot of...
Thank you.
A lot of fun doing it. So, what else? We know where it is. We know what time it is. Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to say about Theater Suburbia. I love that it's at 8:30. I love that. I'm a night person anyway, and so, you know, I can have breakfast and then go to the theater.
As sad as you think he's kidding. Yeah, I like breakfast.
Yeah. So, everybody go out and see it. It's a whole lot of fun.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing this.
Oh, do we still have the after-hour special going?
Absolutely.
Ah, and that would be...
Mention after hours and get 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Right?
Cheap date.
Cheap date?
Yeah.
Even Stanley will spring for that.
That's up to you. We'll provide the theater tickets, but, you know, you guys are on your own.
Anyway, call in and mention after hours and get 2-for-1.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. We have something to...
Yeah, I found this hottie over here, and I had to double check. I didn't know if it was your CD or if it was left here.
No, that's mine. Jim.
Oh.
Jim Ferraris.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Snackish.
Yes. He is quite snackish.
Thank goodness American Idol did something right.
So, let's go to him.
Let's go to him. And
thank you to Theater Suburbia for being out here late at night. Yeah. It's on you.
It's like I blow my fuse, you're getting under my skin. I break a sweat, look how you get me wet. Don't pull my trigger just yet, you're not ready for this. So if you wanna, we can play the game of hide and seek. What hides behind your zipper, babe, I promise not to speak. Once we started, don't you cut me off or stop and go. And if you ask me, are you dirty? I won't say no. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me high, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me high, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on. You lay your hands on all the right places. You never have to guess. You know just what you're doing. When I close my eyes, I don't have to pretend. Cause baby, you're my living fantasy. So if you wanna, we
sure, babe, I promise not to speak. Once we started, don't you cut me off or stop and go. And if you ask me, are you dirty? I won't say no. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Temptation is born. We go from night until dawn until the hunger is gone. Yeah, baby, you turn it on. Temptation is born. We go from night until dawn until the hunger is gone. Yeah, baby, you turn it on. You take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Welcome to the show. I'll teach you what you don't know. Now don't be a tease, baby. Welcome to the show. I'll shoot you what you don't know. Now don't be a tease. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on, you turn it on. Love it when you take control of my body. Love it when you get me hot, so don't stop it. Why you gotta be so tasty, my baby? You turn it on.
God, is he snackish.
Yes, yes, Jim Ferraros.
Pictures on his website, he shaved. Oh.
Oh. Doesn't everybody.
Well, like I said, I saw the CD down there, and the name didn't ring a bell. So that's why if you were listening to the Theater of Suburbia, you heard a burst of music in the background. It's because the computer was down in queue, so when I went to his website, his music started up.
Oh.
And I was like, what the hell was that?
Oh, I see. I see.
And, you know, on his website, it does say on the front page that he is out.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he is.
Well, with the other pictures, you know, you can see he shaved.
Looks a little too twinkish for me.
Oh, come on, you know.
And I got a birthday card from Jaime.
That was nice.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about that later. But right now, I have... we're going to be talking about...
Pom-poms!
In a minute.
No. I'm sorry. Even my father thought that was the cutest name for an organization.
Oh, well, that is.
I think John Netchman is cute myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, he lost all that weight.
But I got an email tonight, as a matter of fact. And I wanted to read it with because I wanted to make sure that Merlin was here.
Uh-oh. Oh, so we have to do that stuff early because he peters out quickly.
So to speak.
Hey, I stay sometimes.
Hi there at KPFT. First of all, I would like to thank you all for being there for me. I was grateful to have KPFT in my life. Jimmy, today I wake up happy with who I am and where I am. I think now I can face anything. I have learned from KPFT to rely on myself, to know I can get through whatever faces me each day when I open the door. Jimmy, that is freedom. Thank you, KPFT, with all my heart. I will try to call tonight. Love, Milano.
Boy, is he good around?
Milano. Remember him?
Yeah.
MBB, he's out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
He's out. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Chris is speechless.
I never saw Chris speechless. I'm looking at his head snapped around. It's like, wow, what a concept.
He was the first person ever who sent me a Valentine's card.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I scanned it and I put it on personal ads.
Well,
I put on some of the things with to let people see of that, and he also I don't know if he did the work or he had it commissioned. It was a rabbit that, you know, my when my family saw, they're like, what in the world's this? I go, it was a gift from one of the listeners.
Yeah,
MBBs.
One of our MBBs. Ex-MBBs.
Ex-MBBs.
Ex. Cool, huh?
Call in, hell, if you're
wondering why you had me stuck.
Yeah.
Why you kept looking at it like,
yeah.
I need you in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Sorry about the banging noise during that part there, Mike.
I wanted to see a reaction, and I got a bigger one from Chris. Who knew? Who knew? Anyway, pom-pom.
Still, very cool.
Yes. Yes, we'll be doing...
Congratulations.
We'll be talking more about that later, but I want to get to pom-poms now. And what is pom-pom?
Chris wants to say...
Sound effects, that's what that is.
What is pom-pom, Chris?
Pom-pom is people opposed to moving the parade out of the Montrose.
Yes.
Yeah!
And, you know... One thing, you know, with being with this radio show and with Q Patrol for all these years, I've always said our community is a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And it is so amazing, from what I understand, how this slight tap on the knee kicked up a Rockettes line.
Yes.
That... It is unbelievable.
Well, the last time...
when last we heard about this...
No, the last time Diane Rose was here, she had Carol Wyatt
Two times ago. 2 months ago.
Two months ago
this week.
She had Carol Wyatt on as a guest, and they were hinting at that, weren't they?
They weren't hinting. They were talking openly about it. Unfortunately, I was not feeling that well that day.
Well,
I think it was just off a suspension.
The trick is they've talked about it for years. They talk about it all the time, so nobody pays any attention anymore.
Yes.
Because it's just one of those things. And then all of a sudden it's a reality, and it's like, I don't think so.
And, you know, one thing I'm going to say is I found out here recently that some of this talk of what they were doing were telling different stories to different people.
They still are.
The Pride Committee. Because I found out recently that... you know, they were calling up organizations trying to gather support.
Oh, yeah? Do you know who they called?
No.
That's an honest question, because no one in the room today at that meeting at 1 o'clock had been contacted previously. They insisted that everyone had been called, all nonprofits, and we backed them against the wall.
Well, from what I understand, they contacted the Houston Big Men's Club.
Okay.
Spoke with our president. And he was telling him that, from what I understand from Dominic, was that the Pride, this was something they were looking at, you know, might be doing in 2009, 2010. And I said, their website says they're going to change this in 2008.
Yeah. That's what they're talking about next year.
Let me give you the backstory for those of you who don't know. They've been talking about wanting to move the Pride Parade... just about every aspect of it. They want to move the date, the time of day. They want to move location. And basically move it downtown.
And make it a daytime parade again.
Daytime parade.
Ugh.
And a daytime circular parade downtown.
In the fall.
September, they're talking about.
September. Now, yes, I understand, you know, June is hot in Houston. But guess what? It's hot quite often in Houston.
You know what? June was hot in New York in 1969, too.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's the Stonewall Riots, and that's why we celebrate Pride at the last Saturday night in June because of the time of the Stonewall Riots, which we look at as our revolution.
You know, there's going to be a parade going through Houston here next week. Do you think that they'll move it to another time just because, you know, who cares if Martin Luther King was born in January? Let's move the Martin Luther Day parade to
That's right. I mean, you don't celebrate the 4th of July in September. You don't celebrate Christmas in March. There are reasons that celebrations are held when they are, and it's because they commemorate something.
Yeah.
And there's reasons why they're celebrated where they are as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the idea of moving it to the you know, to the downtown, where, of course, we'll have to compete with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, what if there's a
basketball
game? What if
and
there's
the
a game
Comets,
going on downtown?
Because I
the
looked
Comets,
it up.
The Comets, the Astros, the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, no, the Rockets would be playing. But last year, during the Pride Parade, I'm sorry, the Houston Astros were playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The year before that, the Comets were playing.
Okay.
So we're talking about, if by moving a Pride Parade downtown, how many people are going to go to a Pride Parade downtown when you have to pay $20 to park your car?
Exactly. Exactly. And then, yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that.
How are you going to get your float down there?
Yeah.
Most floats, I mean, we're lucky they make it nine blocks.
Nine blocks down the hill.
Before they fall apart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The politicians can't get their cars to work right.
The beginning for this, I mean, today, Saturday the 13th at 1 o'clock was a meeting at RMCC, and that was put on by the Pride Committee.
That was kind of a joke, too.
However, Thursday the 11th was a meeting at the community center, and that was for all concerned people about who were against this move. The place was full, and
That was another thing.
There was a lot of anger.
Not compared to today.
I wanted to go to both events. Unfortunately, I was ill on Thursday, and today I had prior commitments. But, you know, when I saw the email come out about the pom-pom meeting, which was last Thursday, it was the organizational meeting. You know, normally for this stuff, you get like 8, maybe 10 people.
No, the room's full.
But the way I was reading it, it's like, you know, you got 30 or 40 people. I mean, 8 grand marshals.
I counted 34 there Thursday night. Yeah. The newspaper, I think, gave us 25.
Okay.
As an estimate.
I mean, like, the thing that John Netchman sent out, I mean, there was 8 grand marshals there?
Probably.
Which gives you an idea of how many people.
Yeah, I was there. Ray was there.
Deb Murphy was there.
Deb Murphy.
Or Deb Marshall, depending on what paper you're reading.
Yeah.
Simino was.
Jack Walensky was there.
Yeah.
I saw Jerry Simino yesterday.
The fact that the community came together and, you know, from what I understand, and like I said, Judy, you were at the meeting. How many people did it look like there was at the meeting today?
Today, I would say there were probably easily 65, 70 people.
Wow.
Easily. And I really didn't count. Actually, I think Nancy got up at one point to do a nose count, but she never got back to me.
Okay.
But we were in the general room where they usually have their coffees and so on in the church, and they had chairs lined up in two different sections, almost back to the wall, about three quarters of the way through the room. Mm-hmm. And it was full. It was pretty full.
Wow.
People eventually started wandering off. They started the meeting at 1 o'clock, and they were very prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And basically who was running the meeting was not the Pride Committee, but the task force people who have done all this research and surveys and such. They were the ones putting on the show.
So are they part of the Pride Committee?
They are not part of the Pride Committee.
Okay.
And in fact, it was eventually, and I say eventually because Melissa Flores had to literally pull it out, you know, hair by hair to get this information from these people. She questioned them for 5 minutes. She did it, and she did it from the back of the room at a very loud tone.
She is a large lesbian,
no,
and she is very loud.
Oh, I love her. She can make more noise.
Yes.
But what
some
we finally
people just
established.
Don't need amplification. They do it all on their own.
They've been saying, you know, these people are the Ascension company was doing all of this. I understand these were the people who did some surveys and things for Enron, back, et cetera. And that's who was doing all this. And so finally, Melissa established with them, they finally admitted that, well, I work there, but I'm a volunteer from there, and I'm doing this. What does that mean? What that basically means is their company's not associated with this at all. They're not responsible for any of the polls they've done or anything else. It just appears on paper that they are. This guy works there and has just decided he wants to do this. And so it was really interesting to find out that a lot of things were not exactly...
As we've been hearing,
they're kind of skewed in the direction of...
Why does this feel like the yuppie influx is somehow trying to make us go away from our own neighborhood?
Yeah, well...
Well, I mean, one by one, things have gone away in this neighborhood. We went on the rant a few months ago about the mural
Mm-hmm. Which still boils my eggs.
Thank you, mine too.
And now we want to move the parade out of the neighborhood, or the gayborhood, as we lovingly refer to it.
And the festival.
And the festival. And all the out of, and then of course the street fest is gone, and mm-hmm. and it's like one by one, it's like somebody's, you know, somehow underhandedly taking one by one all of the color, all of the magic that made this neighborhood what it has been for the better part of 60 years, mm-hmm. And making it all go away. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This town is turning beige. Everything they build is the color of these walls or lighter.
Well, there were a lot of good points brought up today.
Yes,
that we hadn't really heard even Thursday night.
It sounds like it's going to be... First of all, I got to say it. Buddy Johnston would have loved this.
Oh, yeah.
Because
no question.
In the old days, before the Pride Committee, when some group just ran the Pride Parade each year, he would bitch and carry on. And so now we have the established Pride Committee, and it's just as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's come full circle. Now we're organized, and we're trying to screw the community.
I think we're over-organized.
So.
Organized gay people. Wow.
Go figure.
Yeah. So
that took forever to happen.
Why don't we go over some of the points that Thursday meetings covered?
That would be me, huh?
Yes, that would be you.
Do you want me to read all this, or just a bullet
point? Not all of it, but, you know, just the bullet points.
Just Bill O'Reilly and do the bullet points.
The key points, okay.
Yeah, I forgot. This is specific. We can't talk about bullet points.
Yeah. Now, this is a room full of...
Oops.
Can I go home now?
As long as it's yours, not his.
Oh!
Okay, well. James, we'll talk later.
He's in here with lemon.
You forget I'm armed, Chris. Okay, key points of the Pride Board, Board to consider from Pom Pom Thursday night. And remember, this was a group of really interesting people.
Yes.
We had people who really were not members of our community, woman standing there talking about her grandchild, mm-hmm. her grandson. We had a girl from, Jimmy, where was she from? A whole different country.
She was from Norway, I believe.
From Norway, okay, yeah. And so it wasn't just a bunch of old queers like Roy and Judy and Jimmy getting in a room. No, this is really eclectic group.
It was very diverse.
Yeah.
Of people who normally don't get along.
Well, that's true, too.
That so was Ray, Judy, and Jimmy.
Yeah. I said by enemies, and they said by me. So, excuse me, key points here. Anybody home? Okay. Our parade belongs in the one place we can all call home, and that's the Montrose.
Yes.
Traditions. Our parade has developed a character that reflects and embodies the spirit of our beloved, quirky, historic Montrose. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
John Rinswell. Moving our parade would be devastating to the businesses and organizations that have always supported our community. And downtown offers virtually no GLBT-focused businesses, and the GLBT community does not feel safe or comfortable there.
That's right.
And I have to say something there, too,
mm-hmm.
Just to reflect for a moment. What I notice is missing in all of the task force paraphernalia I saw, read, or heard about today is the B in GLBT. I thought that was interesting.
No bisexual.
No, it's just GLT, so to speak.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting. I mean, a lot of times I'll drop transgenders and bisexuals. A lot of times I'll drop transgenders. But in this case, it was strictly the bisexuals that seemed to be ignored.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, just reflecting. Next point. Substantial increased costs of holding our parade downtown will lead to the increased entry costs, thus precluding the participation of smaller and fringe organizations.
Sure.
I can relate to that.
Absolutely.
On a matter of such importance to the community, Pride should allow the community to vote, and that would be very easily done.
Oh, yes.
Keeping our parade in Montrose, we can achieve the goals that Pride Houston claims are reasons to move to the parade. Strong support exists to continue a parade in Montrose at the traditional time of the parade if the board decides to move our parade. Those were all really good points that mm-hmm. were discussed a great deal, a great length of time on Thursday night.
And I think that's pretty inclusive of all of it. Didn't miss much.
Yeah, I mean, for some people who think this is, you know, just a parade, you know, why in the world is a bunch of queers getting all riled up at a parade? But, you know, it's an opportunity to get together and be who we are and show who we are and show a strength, you know. We can, you know, we all talk about Halloween being our Christmas.
Yeah.
That we get to go out and be ourselves. Well, the Pride Parade is more of that, you know, because instead of just gathering in small clusters around, we get to show the diversity of our community. You get to see aspects of the community you don't get to find, you know. You can sit there and go, there's gay Asians?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Surprise.
You know, I remember, you know, watching the parade go and going, there's a gay bar out in the north side of town? Well, I need to go find out about
this. Yes, see? There's a lot of that. And there's a lot of people who, well, first of all, most queers do not live in the Montrose. And a lot of GLBT people living outside of the Montrose really only come in once a year for the Pride Parade. Yeah. And it's kind of their way of stepping into their community.
And touching base and being a part. I mean,
there are a lot of closeted people who get to go to and watch the parade.
Yeah, because you can come down to the Montrose and say, hey, I'm just down at a protest, you know, bring a sign, hold it up. And,
came with my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we look at the people holding up the signs and we go, half of these people should be in the parade.
Yes. Mm.
So, you know, it's great cover.
Yes.
When I first came to Montrose, I mean, I had to move halfway across the country just to be out and queer.
Mm-hmm.
And first time I ever went to a parade, it was like, that was magic to me. And it was like in the heart of a neighborhood that was, you know, even if the gays didn't all live here, this was our home.
Yes.
You know, this was it. This was Gay Central, you know, and to watch people want to take that away, and just because, oh, it'd be better if it was somewhere else, and I'm like, it's bull.
Well, we finally established
bull. This is
today,
our home.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah.
This is my home.
Yes.
And I want our parade to be where my home is, where I have made my home for the better part of 16 years.
Well,
you know,
I
wanted to stay here.
After that Thursday night meeting, I saw a uniform group that, if the Pride Committee decided to move the parade downtown, they would have a counter parade here anyway.
I had a feeling that would happen.
There are a couple of different things going on in that respect. First, Charles Armstrong has said that, you know, he'll immediately start his own regime to get a parade going.
That's right.
But a lot of us individuals also said we would do the same thing. I'm going to be real blunt here. I mean, Charles Armstrong, I've known him for years. Okay, not a problem. But I have a problem with the Pride Committee right now, the way it's run.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have the same problem if the bars decided to run our parade as well.
Yes.
It's been done, and it hasn't been done well. That's not to say Houston couldn't do it right, but I'm not willing to give up my parade to find out.
Well, I think something we learned from before we had a Pride Committee is that when any faction runs the parade, it's a one-sided situation.
Yeah.
You need diversity in whoever runs that parade.
Yeah.
But at the same token, part of, well, our bars support us.
And we must support
our endeavors. We have our fundraisers there. They give generously. And I think part of the Pride Parade is getting a lot of out-of-town people or out of Montrose people back in and giving business to those bars because After a parade, you can't, you're waiting in line to get into any bar in Houston.
Especially the bathrooms.
Let's see, downtown.
You can't get into the
bathrooms. How many gay bars are downtown?
Finish the parade, go to the garage, 40 minutes in the garage waiting to come out into the sunlight of the street, mm-hmm. and then an hour to get back into Montrose and find a parking place so you can go to the bar. That'll put you at the bar, let's see, if the parade's over at 3, it'll put you at the bar around, what, 6:30?
Yeah, something like that.
Hello. Yeah. And if it's a nighttime parade, it'll get you there about 2:05. You can wave to the boss as he goes home.
As he goes home, exactly.
That's right.
I mean, we're not talking about getting any more sponsorship out of this. You know, anyone who's going to come forward and kick in any money for this is going to do it anyway.
Whether it's downtown or, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last time we had a big title sponsor, you know, from the rumors I've heard, they broke the rules. They were told, nope, sorry, you can't be in it. And I said, well, that's fine. If you can't let us be in it, then you can't have our check.
Yep.
And then that was the end of that.
I have a question, because I really am not knowledgeable on this.
Okay.
Haven't had time to research it. What is, let's assume for a minute we moved. Okay. Ew. Sorry. sorry. Let's assume for a minute that it happened, and we did have a festival of sorts at Tranquility Park next year.
Mm-hmm.
What is the vendor situation down there? Because it's my understanding when you do things for the City of Houston or on City of Houston property like Tranquility Park, et cetera, you have to hire their vendors to do things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's now, this has been my understanding. Or no food.
Paul, get closer to a mic.
Paul, move in. Sit, girl, sit.
The basic rule is 10% off the top.
10% off the top.
Wow.
Well, they're already charging more money, and now they're taking it out of our pockets for every beer you buy. Can you buy a beer and turn
the 10%
Park?
Of the profit, but 10% of the gross.
Off the top, yeah. So, you know.
But off the top, so we're paying more.
And I think you'll have to hire their security.
Yes.
Probably.
You have to hire their stages. You have to hire their sound system. You have to hire, you know, you have to have insurance. Of course, you have to have insurance for a parade now, but it's going to be a different situation downtown.
It takes me now, in the time that our group's been in the parade, from where I live, it takes me no more any year than 5 minutes mm-hmm. to walk from my apartment to where our group lands, mm-hmm. anywhere mm-hmm. on the parade group.
What they couldn't offer us today at all was any perks from the city. I mean, it was like, okay, they're going to give us Tranquility Park? Or do we have to pay for this? Are they going to, you know, cut back on the permit? What? There's not any perks at all. I mean, the city's not, they're saying, come to us and we'll make it better for you. But they're not saying, and, you know, keep your hands sticking out because we're going to slather you with gifts. It's not happening.
No, this was the task force.
They want you to put their hand out and take, so they can take money from it.
Now, it was the task force that was there. This was, as you said, there was no representation from the Pride Committee.
Not at first.
Not for the meeting, no.
Okay.
The entire meeting was run by the task force, who allowed us, and they were very generous towards the end, who were going to allow the speakers a minute and a half to have their say. Immediately, Ray Hill jumped on that and was like, well, wait a minute, I've been in radio for 30 years. I can say anything I want in a minute and a half. Most of these people can't say it, you know.
Yeah.
But they were very generous, and some of us got at least 2 minutes. But and I raised hell until they let them have the mic because I couldn't hear them in the back of the room. But everyone did have their say. I don't think anybody had raised their hand that eventually didn't get to say what they had to say. What was interesting is that bunnies were there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we took a vote with our group last night, and we don't want it to move the entire organization. It's not just me. It's my whole organization. There were many organizations represented that said, my organization doesn't want this. I am not a single voice. I'm 46 or I'm 26 or whatever.
Yeah. Bunnies is 200 and something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they literally had taken a vote. A lady was there who, and I'm sorry, I'm so bad at names. I'm better at faces, but bad at names, and Jimmy knows this.
And I feel
your pain.
She's
from Loaf and 40 other organizations, and she said, you know, she's been begging her people, and she gets them out to the parade every year, and it's like, this is the way it's going to be, and we're going to do this, this, and this, and they march with PFLAG, or they march with Loaf, or whatever. She said, these people are not going to go downtown. You know, they're old, they're infirm, they're it's too long a trip, too long a day. You know, they carpool to the parade,
mm-hmm.
they party for a while, they go home. They're not going downtown. And I got to looking around the room, and it's like, right now I'm on a crutch. This is not the norm for me, but right now I'm on a crutch, straight out of a wheelchair. And it's like, I can't do Tranquility Park. And if I could, I don't want to. It's nothing but a series of steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's stairs. It's winding. It's like, no. You know,
it's all that hilly up and down kind
of
thing.
That's right. You're going to lose a lot of people for their health, if nothing else, to this kind of location. Not to mention the fact that, I'm sorry, I am not a proponent of porta pots.
And you know, gopher holes do wonders for broken ankles.
Amen.
Well, I mean, the one thing I find interesting is when you say, you know, bunnies were opposed to this. That's an organization that does do their big event downtown.
They do.
So they have.
Yes.
They go. They know the process. They know what the city does to these
exactly.
to things down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on. You know, we're not talking about the same scale of what the Pride Parade would be. So, I mean, they have a small taste of it. There's ones that would know
exactly
what hornet's nest we're getting into.
Well, they had the results of their poll. Now, I found it interesting that the results of the poll, the questions they quoted statistics on, which were all in favor of everything, were not the same questions that were on the poll on their webpage.
Really?
Because it's like, wait a minute, I didn't answer that question. I know I answered them all. I didn't answer that question. They covered six different questions, and none of them were anything familiar to me at all.
They extrapolated.
So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
They insisted, and I'm sorry, the third time, and I kid you not, the third time this person said, we contacted every single nonprofit in the Montrose. Well, that was just more than Kelly McCann could take. And Kelly, I just love her. She jumped out of her chair. She was two people down from me. Jumped out of her chair, arm raised, because she had raised her hand and get called on. Arms raised, and she was like talking as she went down the corridor there, down the aisle to get the microphone. It's like, they finally, I think she was about third row from them, and they finally said, you next. You know? She grabbed that mic, and she says, I'm Kelly McCann. I am I'm not sure what her title is. She was talking so fast. Of AIDS Foundation Houston, which is based in this community because of this community and everything that goes on in this community, et cetera, et cetera. She says, you never talked to me. You didn't call me. You didn't write me. You didn't email me. You didn't. If you had called that place, believe me, the call would have made it through to me because I am the only one they would have made it through to. And if you didn't call me, I don't see anybody in this room who's been called. And that's true. Everyone in the room was saying, I never heard of you, I never heard of it, I never got it. Nobody got a call.
Hmm.
Outsmart, the voice was there, and oh, God help me, what is the gentleman's name? The Houston voice editor.
Tim Brooko?
No, that's Outsmart.
While you're thinking, I'm going to need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old listener-supported radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
Speaking of KPFT, how long do I have here? I mean, I can ramble till 4 if
you
I need
have
to.
You have until 4.
Okay, because I got a long way that I can go.
We got plenty of time tonight.
And Chris doesn't agree.
The boys, Peter,
Ed, maybe?
William.
What's Ed's last name?
Alvarez.
No.
He's the
yes,
publisher.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was.
We know Ed.
Ed.
Yeah.
Well, I know the name. I don't know the face because you know me. I don't put names and faces together.
He was the guy we dealt with when we... when they moved.
We're over there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, point is, he was there and he said, the voice will give you space. If you will do this right, if you will, you know, do your surveys and you know, be upfront with the community and tell us what's going on, et cetera, the voice will give you space. I will guarantee that. Now,
cool.
That's a pretty major thing.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was complaining about the bias in the polling that they had done and their questions and how positive all their questions were towards moving. And there was absolutely, you know, no room for argument or no room for any real comment or anything of that nature. I guess I have to say these people did the best they could, but especially after it had been established that they were not represented by any company, and it was two people out there just doing this, and they had a couple of volunteers, and really were never clear on who those volunteers were.
One of the things you need to remember, these kind of survey questions are not accidental.
Exactly.
These are done by people that are trained to stack the deck from the get-go. They are designed
to get the answers
to solicit
they want.
A specific response to support a specific agenda.
Exactly. And they did a good job. I mean, they've been trained well. But they've also, they didn't just misrepresent on their survey as Paul says they always do. They misrepresented themselves as well. I mean, as far as anybody in the community knew, they were represented by this company behind them. And then we find out, well, I'm just a volunteer from there. No, you're not a volunteer from there unless your company is supporting you. And it was like, oh, no, they're not responsible for any of this. Then you're not a volunteer from there. You're just a volunteer.
I recently talked to at least one member of my group, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
And what came over the phone was something that I can't repeat on the air about, you know, move it where? The blank, you know.
I honestly have to say, I did get a phone call Thursday night. I got home, I don't know, it was about 10:30 or 11 o'clock after the Thursday meeting, and then I had another meeting to go to. And there actually was a phone message for me, or for GCAM, that said, we're having a meeting on Saturday at 1 o'clock at RMCC. Please try to be there. We'd love to have your organization, you know, represented. I was like, that is the first time GCAM has gotten a call from these people, or from anybody. And actually, this was somebody named Brad on the Pride Committee. So it's not exactly, you know, a well-established thing. Now, at the end of the day, as the meeting was coming to a close, and believe me, there was a 30-minute period in there before it came to a close that I have to admit I got a little nervous and was glad I had a crutch with me, because I really thought we'd be drawing blood. I really did.
So how long did the meeting last?
It was from 1 to 2:30. It was an hour and a half.
Okay.
And that was, you know, and they started winding it down, and everybody was getting really hot and turning purple. It became very obvious that they hadn't been honest with us. They didn't know what they were talking about. And every time they opened their mouth, somebody could question it to the point where they'd actually have to back down. It was not pretty. And I was actually, you know, I was proud of my community, but I was ashamed of my Pride Committee, who would send these people in to represent them.
Yeah, because this thing says, you know, this is the actual Pride Houston website. Pride Houston, producer of the annual Pride Parade and Festival, wants to make our festivities bigger and better and more inclusive. Here's what we're planning. Before we make any decisions, we want your input. Here's two ways you can let us know your thoughts. Attend the community feedback session and then fill out the 5-minute online survey.
Yeah, well, it's nice that it says that, but did it tell you where the session was and what time and all that?
Yeah,
just say,
it does,
oh,
no.
Okay.
It says community feedback session Saturday, January 13th, 1 p.m., Resurrection MCC.
Okay. Actually, from what I understand from Sally, that wasn't even going to be at Resurrection MCC. They had contacted MCC, the counseling center, to see if they could meet there. They'd gotten their answer, yes, and somebody printed RMCC, and from that point on, they were kind of stymied and had to find a place to be. So, I mean, the whole thing's just been totally mishandled from day one, obviously. But when it became obvious that these people had lost control of the room, and it really, that unfortunately is what it came to, then actually, and I have to backtrack for a minute, Jack actually got up and spoke today, too, in favor of not moving. But when it became obvious that, you know, they were losing the room and they were going to lose other things, too, if they weren't careful, the president, I guess, of the Pride Board, chair, whatever, I don't know what the title is anyway. What's her name, Jimmy?
Jimmy's not here right
Jimmy's
now.
Jimmy's not here. He disappeared. I cannot think of her name. I'm sorry.
Bag.
I cannot remember her name. The president of Pride this year got up, and she did actually say, and the main reason she had to get up was because we kept saying, when is this meeting? And they kept saying, well, we had one board meeting here at a certain time. We had one board meeting there at a certain time. We had a board meeting. It's like, why don't you have regular board meetings in regular places at regular times on regular dates? You know, you move them around like a floating crap game.
You know, can I say that? Hello.
Yes, yes you, that you can say. That.
This is a gay show. You can definitely start recording show tunes.
but, you know, it's, and okay, when is the meeting to have the final vote? It's a real simple question. When is the meeting? When is the board going to meet and vote? Because you say, in a few days. What is a few days? Well, come to find out, they didn't have a clue. They didn't know because the board hadn't shared it with them. So I don't know when they were going to get all their feedback to the board so that the board could vote. But the chair or president of the Pride Board got up at that point and introduced herself and said, the meeting was scheduled for this coming Monday. Now, think about that. It's on a holiday. So it was going to be on Monday. And at the end of her very, very short little intro and speech, she guaranteed us that the board would not vote on this issue on Monday and that there would be much more extensive study done within the community that will include everyone who signed in and left their email addresses there today. And every time someone asked a pertinent question, it's like, you know, I don't have that in front of me, but if you, you know, I'll get the information to you. And finally, my question was, how the hell are you going to get this information to us? You don't even know who's asking the question.
Why does this sound like one of those press meetings at the White House?
So I
we don't have that right now, but we'll get it to you.
I literally had 4 points that I wanted specifics on, and one of them was, I want a transcript. They had two people up there taking notes. I wanted a transcript of today's, you know, whatever they had to write down, I wanted to know who was represented, who spoke, and everything else. And so I wrote down my 4 points and handed it to them and said, here's my name, address, phone number, GCAM, the whole nine yards. I want answers to these 4 questions. It'll be interesting to see if I get any response at all.
I just, you know, I'm sitting here cruising along on the Pride Houston website, and this is interesting, because you're asking, you know, who the person was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the page about the board.
Mm-hmm.
They have no listing of the officers or board members or staff.
They're probably hiding.
It says under construction.
Under construction,
I went
to
the meetings page. Minutes of the meeting. The last minutes of the meeting that's on their website. April 2005.
You're kidding.
Wow. No, it's not a surprise.
I'd be frilling kidding.
No.
Kimmy's back.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is. I mean, that's kind of surprising, you know.
Jimmy, who's in charge of the Pride Committee this year?
Carol Wyatt.
Carol Wyatt. I don't know why I can't think of her name.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
It's a mental block. But anyway, Carol did assure us that nothing would happen on Monday. There would be no vote. She never did say where the meeting was or what time, but she did say it was on Monday.
And it is on Monday.
They would be oh, yes. And she did say there would be no vote on this issue on Monday, that they would do a more extensive study and get more...
And then screw us.
Information from the community before they did a vote.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
The problem is we all know now.
Yes.
You know.
I've got here, a question. Correct me if I'm wrong about this, but as a 501c3 organization.
Yes.
aren't they required under law for open access to their meetings and their records?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, it's assured that if they had voted on this issue on Monday, it would have been an executive session, which means they kick all the guests out.
Right.
But yes, all their meetings are supposed to be announced, time, date, location. They have X number of days to do this according to their bylaws, whatever that may be. But they do have to be announced.
Because I don't see anything on their website talking about...
This is PrideHouston.org.
PrideHouston.org.
And you can contact them and ask them for the minutes to any meeting you want, and they have to give them to you.
As well as financials.
As well as financials.
Because, I mean, that's an interesting thing. Like I said, I'm not seeing anything of a meeting on Monday. There was a meeting last Tuesday they had for a Pride production meeting. But...
Yeah, board meetings have to be posted as well. Now, that doesn't mean they have to post it on their website. They have to do it whatever way they decide to do it according to their bylaws.
Okay, let's pull that
down. You know, there's something that runs a chill up my spine about this whole thing, that at some point we could possibly be, for all intents and purposes, at war.
We are at war.
With the very committee that's
charged with putting on an event that represents our community, all the different aspects of our community. That's frightening to me.
We have a caller.
I mean, they're supposed to represent.
Bobby can't hear you.
You know,
we got a caller. Guess who?
I don't know.
Speak. You're on the air.
Oh.
Hey, how you going?
Hey, how you doing, Roy?
What a shock. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I want to say happy nanas to Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
And congrats to Chris there for getting the big men's in with the Houston Club of Clubs.
Yeah, Houston Council of
Clubs, yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, and Judy, thank you for watching over Jimmy.
He was watching over me, honey.
Well, you both watched over each other.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. I do want to say, you know, regarding moving to this Pride Parade, I cannot believe the unmitigated gall, the audacity, the arrogance of that Pride Committee to even consider such a thing. I honestly believe that there is a bunch of self-directed homophobia within some of those board members. I mean, it's not even a gay pride parade anymore. It's a pride parade. It's a Pride Houston.
No, yeah. It's just a parade in Montrose.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
Remember in the old days when we had used to have the big fights during pride committees about whether you would put the gay and lesbian words on the T-shirt.
I remember that.
I remember
very
the
well.
Year we didn't have it on there.
And yeah, and the hullabaloo that ensued after that. And now, for the last several years, there's nothing about GLBT in the logo.
Absolutely nothing.
It's just pride. And they don't even have all six colors of the rainbow.
Because
it's only five
word
letters in pride.
And you know what, Jimmy? I honestly believe that was not by accident.
Of course not. It was by design, literally.
If they put an exclamation point, they could, you know.
And I think that there's homophobia in there, because I have heard from certain
which is pathetic in 2007.
Yes.
But okay.
I've heard from certain members, supposedly leaders within the community, how they are they want to get away from all this gay pride stuff, that it's not really necessary. It's outlived its usefulness. You know,
to which I say, kiss my queer ever so and ever will be queer backside.
Now, strictly from the financials, the Pride Committee has struggled to make ends meet financially with the Pride Parade in the Montrose.
Then stop buying chandeliers.
And
hello.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Or the year we had the mirror scrotum.
The ball, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
well, those were donated.
I call it the scrotum because, you know, they had a hard time keeping it the shape it was supposed to be.
And well,
it
was hanging down.
We didn't have anything last year.
Well, see, it was so hot outside. You know, in the warm weather they kind of sag a little lower.
Yeah, I see.
I vote for a freeze next year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you talk about the weather and that, you know,
global warming does its worst.
You know, it was kind of warm for the holidays here.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now we're getting ready to freeze. So,
but you know, I'm going to go back to Roy. The point is, if we're losing money on a parade or we can't make ends meet, then scale back. Do what you can, but you don't have to. You know. You get your permits paid for, you know it's coming, have some fundraisers, do whatever like everybody else does.
Hey, but you know what?
Don't do what the government does and spend more money than what you make.
But you know what? Going downtown,
it's gonna
that's going to be an even worse financial crisis.
But the scary part about this meeting today is that the people who were running the meeting, who did all these surveys, they didn't have a clue. They kept saying, well, it costs about $100, $100,000 to $150 to run the parade. Right. Clearly on its webpage, it says $250.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you haven't even read the webpage, you really don't need to be up here representing the group.
You know, I every time I hear about wanting to move this thing, it's just like... And to move the date is just like...
Right.
That's so sacrilege, it's unreal.
And where is
Give me back my mic.
Hello.
We had to answer a phone. Yeah. And where is the Houston pride with saying, you know, Dallas does it in October and their bars run that one?
Yeah, that's the pride.
Where the hell is your Houston pride part?
It's the Ross Allen
Freedom Parade.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with pride.
Has nothing to do with, yeah.
It's, you know, it's. So, you know, where in the world is the Houston pride? Not Houston gay pride. Houston pride in the city of Houston to go, well, you know, they do it in Dallas, and, you know, they do it differently here, and they do it differently there. Who cares?
Bite me.
Hey, let's do it like Waco. They do it in March, I believe.
Well, you know, one of the cities, I've forgotten who it was again.
They're used to things going up in flames there.
Hey.
In one of the cities?
In Louisiana. They moved their parade to September, and in five years, they had missed the parade three times because of rain and hurricanes.
Weather.
You know, we could do that, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
But guess what September is in Houston?
It's hurricane.
Hurricane season.
Yeah.
You know, they moved it back, finally. And actually, they made the comment again today about a different state, and I don't remember exactly the location, don't really care. But they had moved their parade, and finally, 3 out of 5 years, they were rained out, and they moved it back to summer.
Do they really want to reenact the opening scene of The Wizard of Oz?
The comment was made today. He's like, you know, okay, you can move the parade if you want to, but I hate to tell you this, guys, it's January in Houston, and we're all sitting here in shirt sleeves. It's hot.
Yes.
It doesn't matter when you move it. Just wait till we leave here now. It's going to yellow.
Okay, but the point is, you can't depend on Houston's weather to be cool in September.
No.
You know, all you can depend on. The other thing we're going to lose moving that parade to September or downtown is all of the people who travel in the summer and can come to the parade and bring their friends and family because kids are out of school.
Yes.
September school started.
Yes.
September, it's. Some people are in the middle, they're in the middle of blizzards already. They're in the middle of snow.
Okay.
Anybody who's a native of this city or has lived here for any amount of time has heard the phrase, if you don't like the weather in Houston, stick around 5 minutes. It'll change.
Yes.
It'll get worse, but it'll change.
We're coming on the 10th anniversary of the nighttime parade.
Yes.
Wow.
Which Jack was against and voted for.
Yes.
That's kind of.
I was Grand Marshal of that first nighttime parade.
And you know something? I missed it that year.
I
was in bed sick, and so was the dark one.
That was 1997.
We were both sick that night. We could not get to the parade that
day. That was 1997.
And that really sucks.
And what's so wonderful about it, what we're so used to now, is the lights and the glitz.
The glitz and the
purple
shirt.
I'm not crazy about it.
Yes.
And the purple shirt.
My purple shirt, yes.
Okay, let's do it. Let's,
the glitter ball shirt.
Okay, I pulled up Interpride. I guess we lost Rory. Rory, are you gone? Praise be. I pulled up Interpride.org.
Yes.
Maybe I actually had to go to work. Let's see. This is a list of all the Pride events that are part of the Interpride, which is what includes Houston.
And there's a lot of them.
So, let's see. Should we list the ones that do it in June or the ones who don't do it in June? I can't tell what's going to be the bigger list.
Actually, they had that list with them today, and it was incorrect.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. There were actually four cities, and I think it was Rainbow that pointed these out, and he was backed by several people, that actually were in June that they had
listed
that said they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, like, Albuquerque does two events.
And I care about that because...
Well, they do one in June and one in April. The pageant is in.
The pageant?
The Albuquerque Pride pageant.
Sounds promising.
Yeah. Sounds like a drag queen contest.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, when you look at this.
That's where I was going with
that. I'm a judge.
Yeah, I mean, and there are other countries that do their Pride events in other years. I mean, was it just...
But other countries may not be doing it to celebrate Stonewall.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't really care about
that's an American thing.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember it was...
It's like
just,
Thanksgiving.
What is it? Two months ago, I think, when
Canada
they were trying
do
to do it in Warsaw.
July.
When they tried to do a pride parade in Poland at Warsaw, and it turned violent.
Yes.
Kind of like our meeting today.
Violent enough where the police were there, but they were kind of watching, going, beat the queers up.
It's 1969 all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Poland style.
It's when you go through some of this stuff.
Well, you know, we could have had a riot today, and we could have, had a new parade in January, I guess. It almost happened.
Well, Texas law is so funny. We had enough people in the room here to have a riot earlier.
That's true.
Actually,
that's true. We had three or four.
We have enough people in the studio.
Now, yeah.
If we bring in the crowd from the outside, we have enough for an official riot.
Well, now a lot of places like California, San Francisco will have their parade one weekend, and L.A. will have theirs a different weekend.
James, let me interrupt for just a moment. Where does San Francisco have their parade?
Castro.
Well, I got news for you. If you're one of these two pollsters now,
yeah.
San Francisco has a parade in a non-gay area.
It's San Francisco. The whole city is gay.
Well, that's the point, though. They were making the point today that many of these cities do not have parades in their non-gay in their gay areas because they've outgrown them, so they've moved them to other locations. San Francisco was the very first one they mentioned.
Really?
Like, excuse me? When did the Castro go straight?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
They have a rainbow flag at the corner of Castro and Market.
Why would I lie? I'm on the radio. 50 people
told you they had it in the Castro, and that's
no,
not
no, they
a,
didn't say it was in the Castro. They said the San Francisco parade is not in a gay, you know, basically gay area.
Market and Castro.
You know, I like to move it downtown or something. It's like
the two leathermen sucking face on the bench in the park.
Thank you. There's a girl present. I don't want to go there. So anyway, but yeah, I mean that's the whole thing. A lot of their stuff was just totally inaccurate.
Yeah,
people just laughed them out of the room. It's like, hello, we know where the parades are.
But, you know, it's hot in other cities, too.
Exactly.
And like I said,
they were wearing fur coats at Stonewall.
They do them different weekends, but they are weekends in June.
Even Utah does it in June.
Well, a lot of them have moved them so that people can attend them. They didn't move them because of the history.
And that's kind of what Texas does. San Antonio, I think, and Austin have theirs at different weekends. Or
I like that Utah logo.
You know, I've never been to San Francisco, but I'm willing to bet they're not suffering any major cold snaps in the middle of June.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
If you're a Texan, yes, they
are.
Comparatively speaking, maybe, but...
Yeah. Haven't you heard the old saying?
Of course, anything under 70 is a cold snap here in June.
That's true.
But
it is chilly.
Yeah. The old saying in San Francisco was, you know, I've never spent a colder winter than a summer in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oops, we got phone calls again. So,
this is exciting. Cool phone calls.
Wow,
I love it.
They're popular.
Probably telling us to shut up.
Yeah, it may be.
I don't know. Get Judy off the air. Why did you bring her back in?
Get frilled. You know what I'm saying?
Must have been personally still talking. Either that or never mind. Yes.
No. So.
I'm sorry.
Are we still talking about highlights of the meeting, or where are we now?
Well, we were. You just, you know.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
We tend to go off on tangents here.
I have friends who have made, who have had to make a choice between going to the parade here or going to one in New York or somewhere else because it happens to land on the same.
Sure.
And it's like, I love it when they, you know, have to make that choice, but I'm like... You know,
somebody was calling to complain that San Francisco is not totally gay.
Well, I never said they were totally gay.
Neither
I said their parade is in a predominantly non-gay area.
I know.
It's in you know, San Francisco.
There are straight people in San Francisco. Yeah. We acknowledge
You'll find
it.
Christians in Mecca, too, buddy.
Yeah,
but,
hello.
You know, you're still, it's still people sitting on a carpet leaning.
But do the straight people in San Francisco object to the parade?
No.
Okay. See, that's you know, we had straight grandmothers in our meeting last Thursday.
Very few people in the Montrose object to the parade.
That's exactly.
Please.
I think there was one business, and they went out of business.
Yeah, they went out of business rather quickly.
Because after that,
nobody would talk to
them. Would go there.
Yeah. Well, and the other good point that was made on Thursday night, people were like, well, you know, the beer trucks and the radio stations and all this, they're going to have their floats downtown, and, it, you know, everybody will follow suit. It's like, wait a minute. If Charles Armstrong says he's not going to buy your beer if you're in the parade down... No, I don't think they're going to go.
No, I mean,
that's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen, guys.
No.
So, you know, it's interesting. They're very overinflated in their idea of what they can do and who they can pull. Mm-hmm. Now, I honestly have to say, people are going to go to a parade if it's downtown
yes.
because...
people are going to want to go to a parade. They're going to want to celebrate. It's June. You're going to do something. I don't happen to be one of them, but nobody gives a damn what I do anyway. So, you know, actually, I'll be here.
Some of us care.
I'll be in front of the high school, and if anybody wants to fall in behind my car, which will have, you know, some kind of signs on the doors, feel free. We'll do our own parade.
We'll do our own parade.
Don't need a parade. Won't close the street.
That's right.
And my camera will be down here.
You go, girl.
Thank you. Yes.
Somehow I don't see a remote on KPFT from downtown.
No.
No.
And they have like...
And they were talking about we could get, you know, more corporate stuff, but...
Who cares?
Have you looked at the parade lately?
I've tried not to.
Well, you know, 20
I'm
years
glad
ago...
I'm in the parade.
20 years ago,
so can't see
KPFT
the
was the only radio media that covered it. And we did a blow-by-blow, as a matter of fact.
I love
air.
It when you put it down.
Wow. Ew.
And now we are one little float.
And you can barely be heard over the big radio
and
stations.
And the 104s and the...
The 104s and the this
and
the
that. And you know, they're...
And I don't like their music.
The commercial stations are in the parade now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well... And I also have to say, too,
when you have, you know, when you've had people from various TV shows and or radio programs as your commentators on the...
Oh. Yes.
Do you want to offend the world? You want one comment that was made today?
What?
Was that Houston can't get any big name good talent for their parade because it's too hot. Now, how many people did we offend with that statement?
Wow.
Hello?
And what do they mean by talent?
Well, apparently not Jade Esteban Estrada or the guy from...
Chad
how about
Allen.
Pansy Division shows?
All of these
Pansy
people.
Division.
Chad hello? Allen I mean,
and,
how many people have we had?
The guy from Queer as Folk.
You know,
I mean
we can't get any you know, good talent for our parade because it's too hot, or our festival because
it's too hot. I do understand that the guy from Queer as Folk. Nearly gave himself a concussion at the top of that float.
I'm
but
just,
okay.
You know, I was amazed when they said that. I was just like, it was frightening. I was like excuse me, I have personal friends here who would love to hear that statement.
Yeah.
I mean, when Queer as Folk was the biggest gay thing on cable TV for, you know... Yeah, whatever. Now we have, you know, what have we got now? The L Word, which, you know, is the popular thing right now. But, I mean, at the time that Gantz was in the parade, I mean, the Queer as Folk was still the hottest thing going.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
hey, don't
and
tell me tell the pollsters who don't really work for the company.
You know, I mean, but who do we have to get?
Well,
Harvey Fierstein?
Remember.
He'd come.
He'd show up.
Remember last year when the Los Angeles Pride Parade had Paris Hilton as a Grand Marshal?
Yeah.
Ew.
And, the whole
somebody
queer
feed her a
country
sandwich.
Screamed about that.
Just ice because cream. She looks like a drag queen doesn't mean she's queer.
Well, why are you having a non-queer is a grand marshal anyway?
Well, I have to ask a question. I live in Houston, Texas. Why do I have to have some big name out of towner anyway?
We've got names of good talent here.
Exactly.
But they feel that
local talent. For a local parade. I mean,
well, they're
it
talking,
seems like a pretty good
I
idea.
I think the big talent they're talking about is for the festival.
Although I would have liked
well,
to.
Well, he said parade and festival, but the same talent that's in the festival are the ones who are on those floats
that's
that
true.
Night.
Yes.
Although I would have liked to have seen Chad Allen.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a lot
I'd like
more
to see a lot
of
people,
Chad
but
Allen.
Not in my parade. They don't belong in my parade. This is my parade.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I think we have to... I have to throw this in so everyone, you know...
Okay.
In case someone listens to this... As part of full disclosure, let me let you know that KPFT is a media partner with Pride Houston.
Okay.
Just to throw that out there.
You're allowed. Mm-hmm.
Our logo is on their website.
Okay.
And it's actually above Mix 96.
Ooh, I'm impressed. I also need to say that there was a representative, a very cute, very young representative, of Garnett Coleman was there today.
Good.
And he spoke. Well, and Coleman is very definitely not in favor of this move.
Oh, good.
And so I needed to throw that in there.
Because they were intimating that the Pride Parade is for white people.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not intimating. They're saying it outright.
White people?
Old white people.
Who said this?
Really?
This was talked about in the Thursday night meeting.
Yeah.
How many different ethnic groups are represented in the parade every year?
Just about every one.
I don't know. We had at least four in the room on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I seem to recall an entire group dressed as geishas.
Asians and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think every color that you can combine to create the rainbow is part of our parade.
Yes. But how is moving it downtown going to diversify?
They'll feel more comfortable. They're not comfortable in the Montrose.
Well, we'll get more straight people to come out of their condos to watch the parade.
Hi, Chris. Close your mouth. You catch your five. I'm off guard with that one. It's twice you've been speechless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
And that's hard to do to anybody on this panel.
Yeah, they're dancing in there. Look, quick.
I'm no longer technically suburban because where I live, I'm actually in the city limits of Houston. Now.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It took me 27 years to finally move into the city limits of Houston.
Yay. I'm as close to Montrose as I could. I'm in the Heights.
Yeah, 27.
I can't afford the Montrose.
So
the
fact that it's well over 30 now is...
Yep. 77070.
Oh.
Recently acquired when the police station, they put a substation before... Next to the strip club.
How did you used to do that thing about it's not just a zip code?
77006.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's not just a zip code. It's a
life.
Yes.
But I mean, so people are outside this area, and I'm not with doing the radio show. You know, having to come in, find some way to get in town, and then come back here for the show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They are talking a shuttle service. It's like, two or three buses.
I have a hard enough time making it from my group to this station on that night, given the traffic that's going, just on the sidewalk.
A shuttle bus service is going to run?
They said they were talking about shuttles. Now, I don't know what that means, but they're talking about shuttles. It's like, yeah, right.
Okay, because I like being able to walk
to the parade.
Of the shuttle bus service used during Louie.
Okay.
And that's only 1,000 people.
Yeah.
If we use the numbers we're talking about 100 times that amount.
Well, let them move the trolleys. It's not like trolleys won't drive down the street.
We're not putting anyone on the air.
The trolleys. Houston has trolleys.
Yeah, yeah.
Use the trolleys.
Yeah.
But, the point is, and the better routes...
Hell, one of our bars used to be a train station.
The better routes that we could use, we can't use because it crosses the railroad tracks. It's like, excuse me, you didn't think of that when you put railroad tracks in? Whatever. So we're very limited on the space we can use.
Because the railroad tracks were designed to carry people from...
Wrong places to wrong places.
From Enron Field to the Astrodome. Yeah.
Now, one of the big points to this whole thing is, if we move downtown, we will have multiple points of entry for the parade, which means you won't have to stand on the sidelines and wait so long for the parade to start passing in front of you. What the hell do they think we have now?
Okay. As I said this before, and this is, I hate this to sound like a knock on, past administrations with it, but the Pride Committee, the parade marshals, those college and high school looking kids that give the big giant stop sign and go signs, they're the ones who screw up the Pride Parade and make it run long. They put in these artificial gaps and then expect you to
speed up.
Hurry along.
Yeah.
Now
we had a football field between us and the people in front of us 1 year.
And now I know this from great experience because those of you who know me, I'm not svelte. But the majority of Pride parades that I've been, I have walked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in some of the Pride parades, I've actually technically ran because they put in this gap, and then at the end, when you're really tired and hot and sweaty, they decide, hey, it's time for these things, you know, instead of going 10 miles an hour, we need you to go 30.
Mm-hmm. I've had 20 operations up to this point because of my legs and stuff. And I love to walk the parade, but it becomes a real heck of a challenge when they're gapping things and you're trying to keep up with the people in front of you, but they're creating these gaps that are like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Gaps.
Yeah, right now, the Pride Parade cannot get it organized to go from point A to point B. Normally, I would say a straight line parade, but, you know, yeah. This is Montrose. So,
it's Montrose and Westheimer ain't nothing like a straight line.
We're having trouble getting A to B, and they're talking about wanting to do A, B, C, and D, and circle it around. And, you know, the funny thing is you start drawing in those lines and all that, and it looks like a symbol from the 40s. I don't know, but hey, you know.
Ooh, careful.
Yeah, come in here and you make it.
Why don't we take a little break here?
That'll work.
Okay, I've got some requested music. So I had some folks call in and want to hear some country and western. So,
ooh. Okay.
We've got a gay artist, Sid Spencer, the late, great Sid Spencer. And this is a favorite of mine, of his.
Mama's tears fell so easy, and Daddy's handshake was strong. Then I climbed aboard that Greyhound, 18 and glad to be gone. I took a rented room on Broadway, and as I unpacked everything I owned, I found a note my mama left me, with a Bible and a bus ticket home. Said one will get you where you're going when you haven't got a prayer, and one can bring you back some if your dreams ain't waiting there. There. You're out on
wanna be a cowboy, sweetheart. I wanna learn to rope and ride. I wanna ride on the plains and the deserts, out west of the great divide. I wanna hear the coyotes howling as the sun sets in the west. I wanna be a cowboy, sweetheart. The life I love the best. Honey, ole, sleeping herd while the moon shines down from above. I want to play my guitar, yodelay, because that's the life I
girl.
That was a queer country set. Started off with Sid Spencer, a Bible and a Bible and a bus ticket home. That's a cover, I'm sure. And after that, you played
Doug Stevens and the Outband.
Yes, from their CD.
From Christopher DeCastro, a picture of a gay pride parade.
What do you know?
What a concept.
Hey, someone send this over to the guys here, because it looks like a queer part. Well, a big rainbow going down the middle of the street. You know, it could be queer anywhere.
Yeah.
Cowboy's Sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like yodeling it.
And that was Doug Stevens. That was a man doing that song. And then we had Christy Claxton, whom we haven't heard from lately.
She's getting into the other side of the CDs.
Yes, so she...
Wait a minute. It sounds so wrong on this kind of a show.
Yes.
The other side of the CDs.
No. No.
I've been reading too many damn
Best
personal ads lately.
Girl, that was her big hit, and Christy is now...
Producing.
Producing, and producing live shows a lot, as well as... getting other performers into the limelight.
And, you know, we're going to bring you some more music next week, because I've got one. I just want to give them a heads up and let them know that we're going to be playing coming up here. Big Nug.
Big Nug, huh?
Yeah, Big Nug is going to be on the air next week.
Cool. I may not be here next week.
No, it's...
and it's not because of that.
It's Homo Hop.
Homo Hop, Hispanic.
Ooh.
Openly bear.
Wow.
I don't know which song I want to play first. he sent me one that was clean.
Yes.
And he said, look, I have to check with my producer about doing a radio edit of the other one.
Yeah.
And he sent me back another one immediately.
Good.
And
good.
And he's going to be coming here with a whole tour of people. I got to get some more of the information.
I mean, he didn't come in June when it's hot.
April.
Sorry.
Big lineup here. This is a big tour coming through. The Homo Hop Revolution.
Really?
Is going to be coming here in Houston in April.
I'm
I believe Johnny Dangerous
that.
is going to be in it.
Hey.
And Tori Fix.
Oh, man.
Lots of live interviews coming up. I'm going to find out some more about that. And, you know, I told JD about... note to you, and JD's like, he had heard some of this and got all this.
So I bet he's excited.
Well, the funny thing is this.
JD Doyle, who hosts Queer Music Heritage, heard every fourth Monday as the last hour of Queer Voices.
But the twisted part was, I let him know how I found out about this, and it's because Big Nug made a music video.
Mm-hmm.
Where do these people come up with these names?
And he attached it to his personal ad.
I see.
Which is how I stumbled across it.
We'll have to look up that personal
ad. That answers that question.
Girl in a room.
Okay. We're back.
Hi.
To the Pom Pom Group.
I may not be here next week.
Yeah.
And that's not because of that whole statement about the music.
No, it's because you're...
It's because I'm having surgery Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ah.
Will you be coming back with most of you still here? Or?
Most of me will still be here, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
When I do get back, it's just a question of this GD foot not...
Healing
the way it's supposed to, so...
They have to go back in?
They have to do stuff again and close it up and make sure it stays closed this time.
Yeah.
I've had it... Oh,
You're going to have
the surgery is on Tuesday. Not that I know of.
Okay.
The flatulent cow will not be attached to my foot as far as I know. You had to be...
Okay,
the machine
be
that was attached to my foot. Anyhow. And
that
every
was,
few
that
minutes
was
it went
to drain it. It sucked it. To
matter of fact,
it
did it on air at a beautiful moment, and it was all Chris could do to stay in that chair when it did. I mean, it was hysterical. But
I digress.
But I digress. Yes, exactly.
No.
I do it all the time. I just call me Tangent Boy. Anyhow, so here's the fun part, though.
Yes.
You know that weather that we're supposed to be having?
Yes.
In the next couple of days? That's supposed to happen Monday.
Oh.
I'm supposed to go into the hospital on Monday.
Ah.
And supposed to have the surgery Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, the coldest weather we've had so far, the most brutally winter weather we've had in years, and yeah. I'm going to be in the hospital if I make it there in one piece.
You'll make it there.
Because you can make it anywhere. Yeah.
We're back, and we're talking about Pom Pom, well, which is, Judy?
Oh, I have to do this, don't
that would
I?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So you caught me off guard here. People opposed to moving our parade out of Montrose.
Yes.
Pom Pom. I just love John Nitschman. He has such a little flair for words. Hi, honey. You're looking. Oh, he's looking at
you.
You
gotta love our acronym.
Well, maybe if we're having such cold weather, we should have a parade this week. Sorry.
Hey. Licking the monitor, Jimmy.
Yes.
Ew. Girl here.
Excuse me, just
girl
a second.
Girl present. Okay. Yep, there goes.
Yes,
okay.
We know there's a girl present.
She, all of a sudden, I'm alone in the room.
You've been reminding us all night.
Well, yeah, you know, she keeps reminding us because she doesn't have the biggest rack in the room.
Thank you, Jesus. What can I say? Do you know that's not always the case when I'm around my gay friends?
Oh, well, hello.
No. I was introducing Jimmy to the artist we're going to be playing next week.
Yes.
Okay.
You have this obsession with being the only girl in the room.
No, I just like to veer the conversation back to something back to I care something about. That, yeah. It's not offensive. It's just I don't give a shit. Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. But, oh, God, they're still looking at pictures, I can tell. Oh, well, we
that
need a computer monitor
week.
In here so yeah. I can look at pictures, too, of my choice.
No.
Of
no.
my choice. I'll bring the laptop.
I played you a tuna country tune here. So.
I know. It's fabulous.
I'm sorry. Well, country tuna, we'll call that.
But Chrissy Claxton won't come to Houston in June for the parade because we can't bring any big names in Houston because it's too hot. So,
yeah, that's
boy,
that
I love how you circle that right back around.
I can segue into anything from
there. Yeah, right back into logic like that, you should go running a parade.
Oops. Oh, well. What can I say?
Okay. Well, you have own feelings about that.
About the parade and all that?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yes, I do, but nobody's ever asked me my opinion until I got on the mic today.
Okay, so.
No. Actually, I have a lot of concerns, not just the fact that this is the Montrose, okay? Not the fact that this is our home and people come here because this is where we are and mm-hmm. so on. You know, you have to look at the broader picture of all of it, too, and it took a long time to hear any of that mm-hmm. in that, you know, again, look at getting into your car and doing this parade. Look at getting floats down there and people down there to be on these floats and where they're going to be and how they're going to, you know, you've got wires and lines and so on that are in the way in Montrose. Think of what you're going to hit in Houston streets, you know, downtown yeah. streets and so on. And I can just see it now. The Houston Chronicle's front page, a drag queen, full beard, full mustache, walking past Foley's?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just is not a picture I can really, you know, grasp. But one of my big things is today my statement was, you know, I went through this for years with Rainbow, specifically Rainbow. There were many others in mm-hmm. that you can't have your big, ugly, plastic bubble butt showing in the parade.
That's true.
And this is a war we finally won. So now we're going to take it downtown, and we're going to have to fight those battles all over again because downtown you can't do that.
You're
yeah.
going to have
exactly,
to
and that was exactly the response that I got from the.
What about the children? What about the children who,
you know,
show up at the parade now?
It's family oriented. I said, well, it's just as family oriented. In fact, more so in the Montrose now. We have preschoolers at that parade.
There are more children
begging for beads.
Sanitized for your protection. There's, you know, there should be a piece of paper wrapped around the way we sanitize this parade.
That's nothing compared to what we're going to get if it moves downtown.
That's right.
You know, there are hundreds of parents at that parade every year. Mm-hmm. I see them with their little whippersnappers.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Rugrats.
Excuse me, future generation.
Future generation.
Hello?
We can't say ankle biter because there's got to be a hanky for that.
Careful.
I'm sorry.
Careful.
They bring their kids to that parade. And, you know, I don't see a lot of those parents going, whoa, hands over the eyes, when the Leathermen are going down the street.
No. Or the drag queens.
Or the drag queens.
Or the
cowboys in the skin-tight almost jeans.
Yeah, or the little boys
dancing on the bar floats.
Or the little, in the speedo latex thing.
I turn my head. The kids don't.
The kids, you know.
There is nothing.
People bring their parade, bring their,
but we're gonna
their brood
start
to the parade, and most of those people have been to other parades and know what they're in for.
That's right.
And yet they bring their kids anyhow, and their kids have just as good a time as, you know.
They come with more beats than me.
And they end up with more beats than I end up with.
They're street legal, and that's a big deal with the Pride Committee.
But, you know, the point is, what's street legal in Montrose is also street legal downtown, but somehow they managed to get around that, you know. And so we're going to have to fight all of these battles that we've won over the years. We're going to have to start them all over again.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Rainbow's big plastic bubble butt again will be an issue. The boys dancing on the float, there'll be again another issue.
Drag queens with beards.
Why? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why invite the trouble? I mean, we've got it. We've got it into a fine art now.
Gotta let everyone know, you're listening at After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Oh, yes, I always forget that part.
And
because we have a lot of listeners who are listening online from out of town, and they listen to find out what's going on in Houston. Many of them used to be here, or used to be here, or they just find this show entertaining for some unknown reason.
Beats me.
You know, it's during our show. It's 4:20 sometime somewhere in the world.
That's right. That's right.
Somewhere in the universe.
Tip a hat to Dean for that one.
Thank you, Dean. I miss Dean Becker.
And tonight, what we're just doing is Gigi
lots
is sick,
of people do,
and
but their
you
head's
know,
getting better.
Diane Rose is
out of
Diane Rose.
So I'm a consolation prize. Is that what I mean?
No, she's out of town.
Well, since you keep making the point that you're a woman, you're a woman. It's the booby prize.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. What can I say?
In fact, speaking of women,
why?
Paul just mentioned to me before he left that a lot of women are going to Blur now.
Yes, I heard that.
There's a whole lot of women who don't like Chances or think it's tacky.
Fire hazard.
Or for whatever.
doesn't really matter at the moment, does it?
Certainly has proven itself to be a fire hazard, yes.
Well, you know, when that building
is... Careful.
That building has been around a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure
has. It's not the first business to be in there.
No. In fact,
and neither was Charlie's.
And usually Blackenfish was in the next
restaurant across the way.
Yeah.
We're being
well, speaking of Blur.
So Blur is a bit more upscale. And so...
For those of you who don't know what Blur is, what we're talking about, Blur is the club formerly known as O, Pacific Street, formerly known as O, formerly known as Pacific Street.
Yes. One block away from Charles Armstrong's bars on Pacific Street.
What?
I'm not going to say a word.
Yeah.
The bar of the perpetually changing name.
Yeah, well, you know, I think...
Hey, but it doesn't close down for much.
If it becomes more of a lesbian bar, I think that's a good idea, because it will not be in competition with Charles' bar.
You know, oh, wait, I'm sorry. There was another name in there. There was also Jeffrey's there for like for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then when they decided, you know, we have to let people smoke in a bar, it kind of...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not for long.
Yeah, there was an old fantasy movie called Krull that had a place called the Dark Tower, and every morning the tower reappeared somewhere else. Well, that bar is kind of like that. Yes.
Only it stays in one place.
Somewhere on the other side of the planet would be nice in some cases.
I'm sorry.
However, this is the bar where the building doesn't move, but the name does on a monthly basis now.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So let's get back to our topic we were talking about is the Pride Parade and the discussion
Of moving it.
Of moving it. Yeah, I hate to say it, you know, we're
venue and yeah. and time.
Venue time, you know, I have to admit, you know, we're not really being fair or balanced here. We don't have anyone who's in
pro,
who's in favor of moving it.
That's because
nobody in this building at the moment is.
We're the leftist version of Fox.
Ooh.
Wow. The only people I know of that are really in favor of it were the two in front of the group
the
today with the computer. Yeah. Now, there was one person in the audience who waited about three quarters of the way through, and then she stood up and she says, well, I just think moving the parade, I don't go to the Montrose except for the parade, and I've only been there once, and I don't really give a damn. And I didn't know until yesterday what Stonewall was, and I was like, well, where the hell have you been?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
person?
I'm sorry. She was probably in her 20s, but the point was she didn't care where it was. She was going to go, you know, celebrate her pride every day and celebrate her pride at the parade.
No, she's
going to
celebrate her pride
and,
one day
yeah.
a year.
One and my point, year. You know, it's like, okay, and you're the ringer they brought into the room after the meeting started, and it shows because nobody would, it's like, she went back and sat
one
down, and the
person.
Four chairs around her just, that's amazing. Ooh, don't catch it.
Thinking about her, you know, it's like a line from
people
the movie
disappeared
Clue,
like what? Vampires in sunlight.
Yeah. Like, I thought you people were called fruits, not plants.
Okay, two for Chris.
That's cute.
That is cute.
That was fabulous. We'll give you that one.
But she really was the only voice in the room in favor of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I can see
that she was in favor of it particularly.
Oh, no. Well,
she
just didn't care.
Yeah, throw a party, I'll show up.
Yeah.
You know?
And I kept looking at her thinking, why? But I didn't say that, you know. I can't think that, well, you know, people would not necessarily flock behind her to get there. I understand, too, that the Pride Committee has been getting a lot of hate mail and a lot of threats and stuff. And
yeah.
That's very disheartening to me. And one of the things that, you know, I sit here and I'm just so excited because I hate what's going on. And at the same time, there's this little part of me back here that just loves it because there has not been a show of unity in this community in as many years as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there protesting
yes.
and, you know, screaming at Prudential and, you know, over at Circle K and the French Embassy and all these places, you know, doing these things on the spur of the moment for years. And all of a sudden, it's like, it died.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Yeah, it did.
It's history. And I have to, you know, I looked around on Thursday night in awe of the people in that room. It was amazing seeing so many organizations and individuals and old faces and, excuse me, recognizable faces in that room mm-hmm. and so on. And the same thing today. There are even more organizations, more people. There were people in that room that I never in a million years thought I would ever see at what could be considered a protest meeting.
Yeah.
And that really right there, that told me that, you know, Pride can go, well, the Pride Committee can go wherever they want, but the Gay Pride Parade is going to be in the Montrose.
You know? You remember when, you know, the old thing about George Bush wanting to be a uniter, not a divider, and he accomplished it. Now everybody's united against him. I think somebody's managed to do the same thing for us at this
yeah.
point. We're all at this point going up yours
yeah.
in regards to moving the parade, you know.
And if you want to do something like that, at least for God's sakes, be on the up and up.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it backhandedly. Don't try to do it behind our backs. Don't try to lie. You know, Jimmy can tell you, you can do anything in the world to me except lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You cannot lie to me and get away with it.
No.
And that's the way it is. It's like,
and that's why this
lie to me and see
this
how
whole thing
fast
is
I'll
so much like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it is. And it's just, it's almost scary and it's very sad, but, you know, but the other thing too is that they made the comment today that, well, you know, the young people this and the young people that, and it's, look at this room of old people that are, and I looked around, and the guy from Garnett Coleman's office couldn't have been more than 20.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and there were many in the room that age group.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who never heard of Stonewall was probably in her late 30s at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, honey, if you haven't heard of Stonewall, you're a real fool to get up in the middle of the
room
like this and say
hello.
Yeah,
you
no
know,
kidding.
Hello.
Mm.
And well, I really can't remember how Deb Murphy put it. I don't remember the quote, but she put it so eloquently Thursday night about, you know,
the kids that she works with and so on that come into the Montrose. And I won't even try to quote her because she it was beautiful. But
yes, it was.
I mean, at least with, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, the youth being able to come to this, you know, I think it would be a little daunting to go downtown. You know, I'm daunted to go downtown. I'm 35.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm 56, and you wouldn't catch me on those streets at night by myself.
So,
or with friends.
You know, I think it's, you know, it's a lot easier to say, hey, I'm not going downtown. I'm going in town, going to Midtown. You know, I'm not going into the downtown district where, you know, it's so easy to get lost and, you know, if you're suburban, you know, one-way streets are confusing as hell.
I've lived in Houston all my life, and I refuse to drive downtown alone. Not because I'm afraid to do it during the day, but because I get so lost down there.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like you were saying, it's heartening to see that people that... the age thing on that, I can understand someone looking at that, because when you look at the organizations, you know, yeah, there is a large number of older white people who are in charge of these organizations. And that is because these organizations have been around for a while, these people started it, and eventually, you know, there's going to be turnover, there's going to be younger, but, you know, you're not going to have young whippersnappers there at Loaf.
That's
or
right.
Prime Timers or people coming from Spry.
That would sort of defeat the purpose of those organizations.
I haven't gone to Pride meetings for quite a while, but I do remember vividly that... And I know there's been a turnover of personnel, so to speak, in the last 10 years, but I do remember that it was very... cliquish. It was not friendly to visitors or to first-time people at the meetings or to people who didn't go to every single meeting. And that does not encourage people to continue to come back. I don't want to go to a meeting and be treated like a leper. If I can't go to a meeting and find out what's going on and feel like I can be a part of it or fit in at some point, I'm not going to keep going and wasting my time. So these meetings are not geared towards young people. They're not geared towards people who aren't corporate oriented, and for God's sake, I'm not corporate oriented. I'm retired, and so no, you don't get your new blood in there, and it does become as several people have said in the last 72 hours, very incestuous, and that's the problem.
You know, and I realize to some extent that we have a problem with getting younger generations to care on a lot of levels. We have a lot of people who do want to go out there and party and have a good time and just act like they'll always have their rights just the way they are and yada yada, and it's like, you know, a wise person once said, ignore your rights and they'll go away. The one and what I find to be the one shining hope is that I'm friends with several hatchlings and former hatchlings. And if I have noted that if there is any one group of kids who are aware of their history, of the stuff that came long before they were even born, it's hatchlings. There, you know, I can have a conversation about Stonewall with my friend Bobby, you know, 19, 20, 22, something like that, I don't know, in his early 20s, and I can, and they know, they've been taught the history, they've taken the time, and some of them have taken the time to study it themselves, and, you know, those are the kids, it's kids like that, and other kids out there who just choose to know something about where we've come from, to where we're at, who are the hope of the... They're going to be the people putting on the Pride Parade 20, exactly. You know, in 10 years, in 15 years. And
I mean, what would happen... He went out again.
Oh, good. Because, I have to tell a story. I want to tell it while he's gone.
One thing is this, you know, it would be interesting to see what these people would say if all of a sudden you showed up at a Pride meeting and half the audience was 35 and under.
Yeah. Scare them.
And... they stood up and said, you know, we want to do it this way.
We've always done it this way.
And we want to change into it. You would hear the snapping shut of sphincters.
Yes, literally.
Of these old people going, you can't do it this way. This is how we've always done it. But then they'll turn around and say, you know, we have no new blood. So we, you know.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, there's that idea of passing the torch. Mm-hmm. You know. And yes, young people need to step up and ready to receive the torch. But the older generation has to be willing to release the torch and not use it to bash it over the heads of the younger people saying, you don't know enough, you didn't suffer the way we did.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, quick tell your story while he can
stop. I mean, the point is that the people of that generation suffered so these kids wouldn't have to anymore. Yes. That they wouldn't have to go through all that crap. You know,
the younger generation, yes, and I think there are some out there who don't understand it, but there are a lot of the younger generation out there that understands that we are standing on the shoulders of others and the gravestones of others to get to reach where we're going. Absolutely. Now.
Stephen, for instance, anyhow.
Right.
4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, that was a 25th anniversary or whatever, 30th maybe, the Pride Committee approached me and said, we need to do some research with GCAM because, you know, we want to do specific things and so on. I went, that's fine. So we did research together and so on and so forth. At one point, we were at the museum over on West Main, and two of the representatives, two board members, were there. And we were talking, and I said, yeah, you know, it's really a shame because, I mean, there are actually people who go to the parade every year who have no idea what Stonewall is. Mm. And both faces just went blank. And I went, oh, my God. You know, this is two people who represent my community in putting this parade on every year in June, and they don't know what Stonewall is.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and said, you do know what Stonewall is? And, well, wasn't that some kind of a... That was a fight or something. But that was in California. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
And I said,
wrong coast.
Do you know who Harvey Milk is? You know, I mean, I was just at that point, I was looking for anything I could say.
They were getting the white
grass for anything at that point.
Do you know who Harvey Milk was?
Marvy Hill?
Marvy Hill. I was really, literally probably said that. And it was like, well, wasn't he a city councilman or something?
Went, so basically, they confuse.
They have no clue.
They confuse Stonewall with the White Knights riots.
They have no clue. They have no clue who or what or when any of this happened. They don't know these people are. They don't know, you know. They don't. Twinkie defense, huh?
Yeah. I mean, my brother asked me several years ago, you know, why is the Pride Parade in the gay bar district? And I explained him the story. And he says, "Oh, it makes sense."
Duh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
And why do we want to cut off our noses to spite our faces by telling our bars, well, you know, downtown's far enough away, you know, we'll just probably go someplace along the way. We won't come all the way back into the Montrose after the parade. And, yeah, you can serve us drinks the other 364 days of the year, but we won't bother on that night when the whole world is out.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I guess the people who came up with this idea are... Don't go out to the bars, and they probably think that... Because it's the Gay Pride Day, that, you know, it's a gay holiday, so, you know, we close all of our businesses.
My thing, well,
I am 28 years and 8 months clean and sober today. And I know what it's all about, and I don't go to the bars and hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not much excuse for not knowing why you're doing, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I hate bars with a passion. Don't go in them. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't do one-night stands. I hate the bars. However, they do serve their purpose in our community. And if it hadn't, and to point out Stonewall, if it hadn't been for a bar, there wouldn't be any pride parades.
Yeah. Well, you know, I consider
as much of a hole in the wall as that bar may have been to some people, it still
was home.
It was still home to some group of people who felt displaced by society and who said enough.
Well, and Mary's
one
to
night
me
said enough
is our Stonewall bar.
Absolutely,
okay?
Absolutely.
I cannot imagine walking or riding that route and not coming around that curve and seeing those people on the roof at Mary's. What the heck is going to be comparable to that downtown?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. I that ran through my mind, too, Thursday night at the meeting, because every year, no matter who I'm with, we stop and I make my bow to Mary's.
Exactly.
I mean, because it's paying homage to the oldest gay bar in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had to explain that to somebody today about Mary's, actually. Mm-hmm. Just today. I was they're like, Mary's, what's the big deal? I'm like, well, they're like the oldest gay bar here.
Well, yes.
I guess if you want to learn all about this history,
it's
one
of the first gay bar
points
I was in, ever in.
One of the selling points today to moving downtown was this. Has everybody got a good grasp on their seat?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm arguing.
The Houston Public Library downtown will be open, and people can go into the gay and lesbian archives and learn about our history.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be in a rush to do that on Pride Day.
And my thought was the gay and lesbian archives at the Houston Public Library. When
right.
did that
when
happen?
When did that happen, exactly?
There have been some books there for years. I think we can probably thank Dennis Klappersack for that.
So but there's a gay section
there
of books.
There's a small section of books there. I don't know how large it is.
Probably
I
less
doubt that
than,
it's grown much.
I bet it's less than my library.
Oh, please, James.
Probably smaller than what you'll find. The section you'll find at like a Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. I mean, but
probably find a bigger
section. But that was one of their big selling points, is the library would be open and you can go to the gay archives. And it's like,
wow. So we can fight the homeless people to use the bathroom.
That's true.
Oh, ouch. True.
We could all use a shower
speaking
afterwards,
of homeless
you know.
How late does
the library stay open?
Well, I don't know, but they're talking about a daytime parade.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe still don't they close the libraries on the weekends because I remember there was budget cutbacks.
Yeah, I don't know that it's been open on Saturday for a long time, but this is a large selling point to these pollster people who don't have any affiliation with the company they claim to.
And they have no idea about gay culture at all.
They're not even from Houston.
Mm-mm.
You know, everything they've been told, they've been, you know, spoon-fed.
Where? Gays have culture? Oh.
We have a history.
Don't let that get out, you know. Somebody might care.
Somebody might.
History, that's for old people.
History,
somebody might even donate money to GCAM.
Somebody might.
Heaven forbid.
Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc.
Inc.
Yes. We are a 501c3 organization, and we do need money.
It was kind of neat. I was sitting there in that little room of people today, and somebody reached over and handed me a small check.
Really?
Yes, there is check. There is no check too small, trust me.
Absolutely.
No such thing. Actually, it was regulation size, about 7 inches. No.
Wow.
He was listening.
There you go. All you had to mention was 7 inches.
Hey, and 7 inches and a comma, I'm there.
But, you know, it's kind of nice.
Okay, let me look.
That was nice.
Yes.
Where's...
And anybody ever writes me a check that, with six zeros in it, I'll be happy.
To help the GCAM, you can become a member.
That's right. It's very simple.
$25 a year just to be a member, and your money helps pay for the storage of the archives of GCAM.
And you can do that by mailing a check, or you can go to gcam.org and go to our PayPal page and do it that way.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people
and read all about us.
Yes.
As yet another wise person once said, those who forget their history
are doomed to repeat it.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to sound really ignorant here, but what's the name of the downtown library?
Houston Public Library downtown.
I'm at the Houston
branch.
Well, there's Central Library, Houston Public Library Express.
It'd be Central.
Central Library, Julia Idison Building, Texas Room and Archives.
Okay, that's the archives. That's like down the street, and that's around the corner kind of thing. But the Central was going to be the big building, the big glass.
Central. Up. There we go.
I know what the one in our neighborhood is.
The Texas building's gorgeous. If you ever want to see some history, go into the Texas building.
Yes,
Jesse H. Jones Building.
Yeah. No.
No.
I know what ours is in the neighborhood here.
What's the
Eleanor Freed.
Mm-hmm.
Eleanor K. Freed
is
the name of the one here in the... neighborhood?
500
McKinney.
500, yeah.
Okay, Central Library, HPL Express downtown, Saturday hour. They do have Saturday hours, at least.
Well, I'm what so impressed. I
9
can't
to 6.
Stand it.
But I was just making sure they actually are.
Yeah. It takes so much to impress you.
Well, you know, we were talking today, and we were saying, okay, you want to stand there. The permits are going to cost more. The staging and everything else we want to do, we're going to have to get through you, and it's going to cost more, et cetera, et cetera. What are our perks? What are you going to give us?
Yeah.
You know, can we have the, what's that big center down there, the where they do all the theater and so on?
Wortham?
Wortham? No, the other one.
Hobby Center?
Yeah,
Hobby?
Can we have Hobby Center for the day? You know, can we have Wortham? Can we have anything? Yeah, can we use that?
Yeah, I could just see them
you
wanting
know,
to give that
like,
away.
Well, no, but you can rent them. It's like, no, we can't rent them.
Yeah,
because we're spending all of our money on.
Yeah, and let's say I don't remember exactly what it cost for nonprofits last year, but you can bet moving downtown, there's no way they're going to maintain those costs.
Well, not only that, but they added, you know, they've added charges that if you wanted to throw anything from your float,
yeah.
You had to pay an extra fee this year.
Yes.
You know, our group has never had anything to throw at the people because it costs us. We are a poor bunch of pagans in our group. We can't afford to throw stuff at the crowd.
No. And that's a relatively new thing since the late 90s.
Yeah.
Of anyone throwing anything at a pride parade.
Well, they wanted to turn it into a Mardi Gras-type party thing, and it was like, that was a mistake.
I get more beads at a pride parade than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been to a Mardi Gras.
Off. Huh? You're more willing to show off. Well, you already
Well, I am naked from the waist up in that parade.
He goes his pan.
And while we're talking about uncomfortable, let's remember I'm wearing fake fur.
Leggings
during that parade in the middle of the last
and
weekend
he's got a
of June.
Natural fur anyway,
and I start out with natural fur on my legs.
Yes.
Thank you. I was you know, I've had it since I was 14.
You're Italian.
So
just put
I'm
it that
going
way.
To go, and if I can do that in the middle of a parade in June, people can get off their butts and show up for a parade in the middle of Montrose. Right here in the middle of
Queersville.
Let's put it this way. I dragged last year my 500-pound fat ass down that route.
In that hot weather.
And this year, I'm still alive.
And well, this year you're going to drag your 420-pound body down.
I'm less than that now.
Oh, good.
Well, Sally Hemmer got up, and that was what she addressed when she got up in front of us. She says, you know, I'm not thin. I'm the biggest person in this room. And she says, I get in there, and I'm usually the only one building the float half the time for the counseling center. And then other people do come in and help, but I do a lot of it. And, I at the end of the weekend, she says, I can barely move. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I hurt. I'm this, and I've been sweating. It's been hot. It's been miserable. And she says that is when, at the end of that weekend, when it's all over with, is when she has her keenest sense of pride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did it. I survived the whole weekend. I did all of that in the heat.
Our group.
And look at me. Yeah. I'm around to talk about
it. But the parade itself is. Yeah, let's face it. Pagans are not exactly known for being the lightest group of human beings on the planet. We have some very
hefty
elf. Earthen.
Yeah, we have some goddess-sized people.
Yes.
Venus of Willendorf, usually. But okay. And they get... And half the time, our float is not built, is not put together until we're there the day of the parade.
And you
we
are
get
not
there
alone
early,
in that.
And
no.
that. Yeah, I mean, hundreds of people are putting their stuff together the day of the parade. But we get out there, we do it, we go down that street, and we're having ourselves a blast.
That's right.
And there is a moment every year that I have been in this parade where something comes over me, and there's an emotional just energy in doing that and having people screaming and yelling and, you know, screaming about pride and you know, and all the and at all the groups. And there's just this overwhelming magic in that, you know?
And it's because you are also marching down Lower Westheimer, which is our territory.
Yeah, I remember my first pride parade I was in. I was with the community center. One of the few ones that I actually rode the whole way in. And the first, that was...
I remember that.
In the nighttime parade. And, you know, the first thing what hit me with with that parade, you know, when you made that curve.
Oh, yeah.
And you looked up and there was the mirrored ball.
Yeah.
That hit me. And I also remember, I forget the name of the group, what it was called then. It was a young lesbians group.
Mm-hmm.
And April, if you know the community, you know lesbians, you know April, I forget her last name. She and someone other woman were running laps around the truck.
Mm-hmm.
With a gay pride flag. They were they walked the whole parade route, and now they are running laps, and they were whooping up the crowd in front of Chances. You know,
yeah.
Stirring it up, and, you know, I mixed together the tape for it, and it was like, it hit beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, the songs, we had one song, one cassette for the beginning of the parade. Then we got close to the end there. I had what was called the money shot tape. And so it was a dance mix version of I Am Woman we played in front of Chances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got in front of the judge's review and we're playing Over the Rainbow. We were under the disco ball when the dance mix version of Dreamweaver came on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we turned off the road when I'm Going Home. From
Rocky Horror
was playing. Like, I'm going home as we turned off of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something to be a part of that. You know, that was my first time being in a parade like that. I watched one year before. I think it was the second year that I was, when I was a part of that. And it was so much fun putting it together and being a part of that community and, you know, sitting on the grass while putting together your parade float. Because, yeah, you're in someone's
front yard. In the
chiggers,
yes.
You know.
I love the fact that our group keeps, every year, some of them say, we think maybe we'll sit this one out. And somebody else can do it. And we never do.
No.
The same people show up every year, and they do the work,
mm-hmm.
and they get into it, and it's like, wow, you know? It's because they can't stop themselves. I mean, it's just a thing of just...
And, you know, really doing it, having a nighttime parade was wonderful because the weather is better. It is a lot cooler. I'm usually in a flashy, long-sleeve shirt.
And if anybody in this room can do flashy.
But honey, you've been going to Lazarus' house, now you can make a sleeveless.
But it's long sleeve for a reason, because it's glittery.
Yes, dear.
And yeah.
And whatever anybody does, don't shine one of those laser pens at his shirt. You'll instantly blind about 150 people. It'll refract off of there and bam. It's like I love his shirts. Gotta love his shirts. Those will be in G-Cam someday.
Yes, they will.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they will.
Well, he's already been enshrined in there.
No, I haven't yet.
I thought you were officially enshrined.
Laminated.
No.
Nope.
Oh, I thought
not
was,
me.
Mummified.
But I do have the outfit that I wore when I was Grand Marshal. Packed away, and it's headed for G-Cam.
I think we're going to take a little step aside here.
Okay.
Break. Since we're in a way we're talking about pride memories and that, I suddenly remembered that there was one year I was sitting at home and I was debating whether or not I was going to go to Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like I said, lived out in suburbia. I was at Copperfield at the time. And I was like, nah, I don't want to go. It's too, you know, I think it was hot. You know, I didn't do anything to get the pride for the float and all that. And I knew I could just jump on the community center float and no problem. And I put on a CD and I played one song maybe two or three times. And by the time I finished playing the last time I played that song, I was getting ready to go to Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a song that hit me enough to do that, and it's something we need to remember about. So we're going to let Heather talk about it.
Okay.
Heather Small is proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
After Hours.
mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
The hook or the ovation, it's my world that I want to have alone.
little pride in my world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise. I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise. I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle?
And we are what we are.
And we are not that downtown as easily as we are that in Montrose.
Yeah. We should have played downtown.
Oh, girl. We can all do kicks, too. I didn't think so. Yeah, and it's a perfect song for tonight. Yeah. It's just, you know, because I am what I am in Montrose, mm-hmm. but I'm a totally different person in other places. I don't deny being gay, but I'm not as comfortable with what I will do and can do as I am in the Montrose.
Ladies and gentlemen, I work in Tomball, Texas. How out do you think I am there?
Exactly.
Of your mind.
Hey, that's a paycheck.
It. Yeah.
But downtown is downtown. It is. It's like a foreign country. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that we have any business being there.
And it is sad that we... There is some level of this that is said that you have to be within a certain confine to feel that comfort.
That's called home.
Yeah. But you know, to us it's home. This is where it's, you know.
Yeah. I don't live here, but this is my home.
I was not born in this city. I was not born in this state.
I'm sorry.
I grew up in New York.
I'm really sorry.
I grew up in the whitest, straightest little neighborhood on Long Island, surrounded by Roman Catholics and Republicans, and right, yeah.
Yeah.
You can imagine how happy I was to live there. I think I was the local color there.
Honey, you're the local color in the Montrose.
Yeah, well, whatever, but... I'm always joking that the local color in my neighborhood, in my little... Which is a lot like Montrose, only without gay people.
Okay.
What we called local color there was the Chinese family that ran the candy store.
There you go.
I mean... How comfortable do you think I felt being out of the closet in my neighborhood?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about being in a place where that was where I grew up. This is home.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I grew up. This is home.
And they have these grandiose ideas, which they will easily, you know, spew forth from their mouths as they speak about how, well... You know, you're going to get more media coverage and blah, 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 downtown. It's like, you think?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the news, the cameras were there today at 1 o'clock when the meeting started, and the meeting started promptly at 1 o'clock.
Ooh. Definitely, this mustn't have been run by gay people. They actually started on time.
They had a 30-minute slide presentation that they had their laptop there, and it was up on the screen. It was like, push a button, read it to us, push a button, read it. As soon as that was done, and, you know, it was not quite done. They had two pages left. Jerry Simino was sitting in the back. He says, your minute and a half is up. Let us talk, you know. And it was like, we've just got two pages. By the time those two pages were shown, camera was gone.
I love that, man.
You know, what makes you think in an hour and a half meeting the camera's going to stay there the first 30 minutes, that they're ever going to print a word or show a scene of anything that we have anything to do with? It's not going to happen.
The only station, the only place where you can see the Pride Parade at any length whatsoever is the Access Channel.
Well, and that's only if you have cable.
And that's only if you have cable.
I don't have cable.
And these days, forget about that. I have made a point of going to find whatever coverage I could of the parade on every news station after it's all said and done the next day, whatever. Collectively, I don't think there's 5 minutes of coverage on all of the major stations. They'll mention it. They'll say, there was a parade down in Montrose or whatever. And of course, they will, as prerequisite to them, because that's all they can think of, they will show nothing but the half-nakeds and the drag queens.
I haven't seen that recently. What I've seen is Pride board members being interviewed. Yeah, I haven't even seen the naked people on the pictures lately.
The thing I would like to see is this. You know, if we're going to get the coverage, I would like to see how Channel, I forget if it's 13 or 2, they cover the art car parade.
Yeah.
They run it.
But they don't broadcast it live.
Yeah.
They come back and they show it later on at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's, you know, if one of these stations would step up and say, hey, you know, we'll record your Pride Parade and we'll show it, you know. And I, you know, considering the fact that we have putting up with Channel 8 showing In the Life at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, 2 a.m. Monday morning, you know, putting us on at 10:30 at night or 11 o'clock at night. Isn't that bad of an idea?
God, I love... I stay up to watch In the Life. I have to.
It's I keep forgetting when it's on.
I love it.
Yeah, because it's only once a month. And
it's... As far as I can... It's usually like the first Saturday slash Sunday,
by Sunday,
whatever.
Sunday into Monday. Yeah. But unless it's the pledge drive
month. Exactly.
And of course, you know, no queers are going to be on that.
I love the...
I apologize. Hold on. I made a mistake. During pledge drive, you will see plenty of queers because they will whore out Ernie Manous as much as they can.
I loved watching Ernie Manous trying to pronounce the names of those pieces of glass by Chihuly during the last pledge drive. That was hysterical because at one point he says, I'm just going to let the guy who knows what he's talking about.
I can't even segue back to the parade on that one.
You know.
No way.
But, you know, that's...
There's as much color in that glass as there was in the parade. Anyhow. I can do it. See, I can segue.
So good.
You know.
But, I mean, it's...
But if these people who presented this... Excuse me, this meeting today told me Channel 2 was going to be there, they were going to film it so they could play it at 11 o'clock the next night, I wouldn't believe them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe a word that came out of their mouths.
Well, I am going to change the subject a little bit because we're running close to the end of the show, and I wanted to acknowledge the birthday card I got from Jaime, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
Because he had a request on here that we haven't fulfilled, and I just realized that.
Oh.
Anyway, he offers me happy birthday wishes, and then
we can't fill X-rated.
I'll have a surprise in the mail for you very soon. And he says, last week's After Hours show was great. Loved it. And the new Jay Spears rocks. Please play more. and thought you...
Oh, yes.
And though you may not be personal friends with Jay Spears, he does know who you are and what you do for the community. Remember, he mentioned your name in an interview he did with RFD.
Really?
It's a gay magazine.
Oh.
I thought it was a bi magazine.
No.
Oh.
Either way, it works.
And I'm sure he listens to After Hours sometimes at www.kpft.org. So, if we have time...
Jay Spears.
Perhaps we can get in a Jay Spears song. If we have time.
Okay.
I like Mike. What's not the
I love Mike. That's my favorite. Absolutely my favorite.
There you got it in.
But
well, give me a CD.
Okay.
Jay Spears. Not to be confused with Jake's Shears.
No.
Is another.
From Scissor Sisters.
From Scissor Sisters.
Who we started the show with. And they are coming to town.
Oh, my God. They're so...
Do you have your tickets yet?
When are they coming?
Not in June, I hope. Sometime in March.
That's what I thought.
Thank God. Because it's cooler in March than it is in June.
Yeah. Yes. Scott told me about that.
He
called me to
say
the very first words out of his mouth the other day on a phone call were, guess who's coming to Houston in March, and I'm getting tickets. I'm like,
oh.
You want to go? I'm like, oh,
duh.
If I'm vertical and my foot is healed up, I am so frelling there.
What, you can't rent a gurney?
I'll wheel my happy butt to go see those guys in concert and girl.
Well, the only reason why...
In concert.
Yeah,
so oh
the
my
other reason
God.
Why I know that they're coming
I love
that is,
yeah,
they rock.
There's this one guy on Craigslist who is has an extra ticket.
Oh, does he now?
Yeah, but you have to be under 21.
Oh,
there's he's got some requirements for
I
who's going to be his
date.
I see.
His accompaniment to it there. Because, yeah, lately I've been, you know, cruising around there.
Lately?
I'm still working on the words to send to the email to Opie about his...
Oh, gosh, yes.
Opie.
Is that short for anything?
He's a dancer.
He's a dancer.
He used to be a bar back over at EJ's, and now he's...
He's hanging around Tony's Corner Pocket these days.
And those pictures he was hanging.
Little redheaded thing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he works at Hollywood now.
Oh, good.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Good.
He does get
believe me, he was shaking it over there at Hollywood with his clothes on.
Mm.
It's very hard to believe
what
she's 20
What was that song we
plus.
Were going to hear now?
Yeah, he is a natural redhead.
Yes, he
yes.
is. Okay, I like Mike. Is that what you're playing?
What scares me is that I knew he was a redhead before you said that.
Said that.
Why do I know
Well, if his nickname's Opie, what do you expect?
Yeah.
His nickname is Opie.
Yeah.
And he certainly got more hair than the original these days.
Yeah, especially out of his pictures, you know. My lips went into a little bit of a pucker, but I wasn't...
Careful. Yeah, uh-huh. Let's play the song.
Opie has...
so we can close out.
Yeah.
I like Mike. What's not to like? The best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. He plays hardball, that's my Mike. He's always playing hardball. That's my Mike. Got the leather, got the lumber, he's a true all-star. A permanent pirate in his muscle car. He's always playing hardball, that's my Mike. He's always playing hardball. That's my Mike. I like Mike. What's not to like? We like Mike. What's not to like? The best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike's got an attitude bordering on bratitude. He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude. Ball with the big boys makes him all cocky. Mike holds his own because he's short but he's stocky. He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude. Mike's got an attitude. Give the guy some latitude. I like Mike. What's not to like? We like Mike. What's not to like? He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike doesn't chew because I asked him not to. He doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
He asked me to dance, but I sat it out. Mike got the hint, and he spat it out. He doesn't chew, because I asked him not to.
Mike doesn't chew, because it's what you asked him not to do.
I like Mike, what's not to like?
We like Mike, what's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pipe in a good long while. I like Mike.
Call for your boyfriend.
I like Mike.
Attitude, gratitude.
What's not to like?
Permanent pirate.
That's my Mike.
Muscle car all-star.
What's not to like?
Sat it out, bat it out.
I like Mike.
Call for your boyfriend.
What's not to like?
Boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's my Mike.
Call for your boyfriend.
What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pipe in a good long while.
I like Mike.
I wonder if he likes Mike.
Well, that was exciting.
Why does that song remind me of that song about Istanbul and Constantinople?
Anyhow.
Because Istanbul was once Constantinople.
Okay.
I came up with a brilliant idea while we were listening to that lovely song.
Yes. I doubt it, but let's go for it.
Chris, I can still hurt you, honey. With a look, it's heroic. Oh, never mind. You'd enjoy it. I forgot.
Promises.
Why don't we, as an experiment, before we move the parade downtown... and all that, as an experiment to see how well it would work, let's move Louie downtown.
Oh, yeah.
It would work just as well.
Let us entertain you.
That could be fun.
Wouldn't that be festive? Chris, are you getting a gun out of your bag? Hello?
That's funny. That's
you
want
to see how ready I am for Louie, honey?
Oh, my God, he's got his pen.
Oh, ready? There you go. Hello.
Oh, Lord of mercy. But, I mean, it would work just as well.
Could you imagine those yuppies who have moved would just cringe.
Would
be
pin
fabulous.
The homeless people.
Ooh.
And,
there you go.
Now, that's the Houston Big Men's Club pin.
Oh, great mother God.
Do I get one for G-Cam?
We'll get you one.
Thank you. I didn't want that one.
Huh?
I didn't want that one. I just said, do I get one?
We were, because we just got them in. We're going all out. Leather on the bayou.
They're
there
nice.
We go.
Nice.
Tranquility Park.
Anyway, we're
name.
Winding down this edition of After Hours.
The parade special.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Your phone is ringing.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Whatever.
I had fun tonight.
We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll get you eventually. This has been After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsor, commercial free. Pacifica Radio. Yeah, it's still a little too early.
KPFD Houston.
It's too early, and one of these things will probably have it on there anyway.
And it's not too early.
I simply quote Spock as far as moving the parade.
Live long and
prosper?
Okay.
If I were human, I believe my response would be, go to hell.
Oh,
I were human.
If I were human.
But that's June.
I'm sure I'll be back for an update at some point.
Oh, yes.
No doubt.
Yes. We will be back with that next week. And, hey, who knows? We may even have our regularly scheduled guests already in progress.
Ooh, what a concept.
No. You never know. I think next week we have better odds. I'm sorry.
I feel like a consolation prize. Okay.
But you're special. We love you. All righty, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is After Hours. Yeah. We will be back next week. If you want to get in touch with us, it's afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail 419. Lovett Boulevard, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for your PSAs.
On January 20th through 28th, 2007, the Australian Chamber of Commerce will host the Celebration of Australia, featuring a range of events on Australian lifestyle, commerce, tourism, and culture. The highlight event is a Black Tie Australian Day Gala on Saturday, January 27th at 6:30 p.m., held at the Hotel Derrick in Houston. We will celebrate the diverse wonders of the land down under, featuring a gourmet dinner, Australian Stars Award, silent auction, Australian music, and culture to benefit the Texas charity project Joy and Hope. The nonprofit project Joy and Hope, dedicated to supporting children with a life-limiting illness and their families with housing, counseling, and financial assistance. Everyone is invited. For more information, go to www.aacc-houston.org. Again, that's www.aacc-houston.org. Or call 713-527-9688.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1 Houston.
Breaking Boundaries presents Words from Exile, Suher Hamad.
What I will. I will not dance to your war drum. I will not lend my soul nor my bones to your war drum. I will not dance to your beating. I know that beat. It is lifeless.
Poet Suher Hamad uses words to confront and inform about the Palestinian-American experience. She comes to Houston January 25th for Words from Exile. The event is co-sponsored by Arab Roots and KPFT and features music by DJs Rami, Antonio, Gracie, and Witness. All this on Thursday, January 25th, 8 p.m. at the Proletariat. For details, visit Voices Breaking Boundaries website at www.vbbarts.org or call 713-524-7821. KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.